everyone, and welcome to Box Box, the exciting show where we open a box and decide if the box rocks or if the box full of rocks.
I don't know if this is going to be a good episode.
Fucking useless shirt.
Yeah.
Sometimes in life, you have to make a choice. Sometimes in life, you have to find your voice. The time to give your ears a play.
Armadillos come from? What am I missing?
Reef put it in the chat, so I figured I'd give it a shout out.
Was it just like a cue for you to start and do something with that?
Hey, he put it in there. I figured I'd say it for him.
All right. Sweet. Thanks, Reef. Yes, hello, Armadillos. That's clever Eric Muller across the internet from me.
Across the internet from me, of course, as always. Hey, it's Dan. I am back, baby.
Best Eric sound design, as it were.
If you still got eardrums after that intro.
Well, yes, after however many intro videos that we have. I would say it's been, we took a break because that's what we do. Occasionally we're just like, we're not going to record for a while. And then we start recording again and we do more things. We are doing this out of our own, the love of our hearts and our own entertainment. So exactly, all the hearts, all the beliefs, all of those things. And what better way? I feel like we also were personally challenged where apparently, the namesake of our old network, PJ, thought it would be a great idea to put on a network called Two Mediocre White Men with PLD. And it's like, you're just going to rip what we've been doing. So we decided to one up. We're no longer mediocre. We are now above average. And
that's
there's
right.
Not two of us. There's five of us today.
That's right. We're a team Voltron right now.
And it's partially because I've been slacking and I am going to be no help today. So I'm just hosting and I'll have an opinion on like two of these things because, you know, all the nominations. But without further ado, let's get the rest of our panel in here.
Let's get the team in.
Let's get the team in. A lovely man, Manning Franks, who is here.
Yeah. I think
he's here for our
special. This man moved date night to be on this show tonight. So, yay.
Bless him. Yes.
Bless you.
Listen, I thought you guys were done with Ramble On, and I thought they did the Suicide Squad review, and I was like, oh, that's it. They've gone like into the wind, and now I'm going to look up tomorrow when you put this on the actual Apple podcast, and it'll be like updated yes, Ramble
there
On
it goes.
About movies.
It's or bad. Knowing me, it'll be a few days. Whenever.
Yeah, nope.
Monday's more realistic, okay. Let's be honest.
We'll see.
Before President's Day.
The belated birthday man, writer cuddler extraordinaire, Nathan Zobel here as well.
Gentlemen, good to see you as always. I also like the idea that the last podcast of the Ramble On family was Suicide Squad, as if like you all had little explosive charges go off in your head because you know, maybe you should have had a different take on it. But I look forward to seeing what five above average men talking about entertainment can do.
That's five right. 3.1 grading average right
well,
here.
We should say four above average four. Men and one slightly below average man.
Yeah.
But you, listener or audience, need to determine which
figure that out.
Ooh. Which of us is the below average man?
I think it has to be me only because I haven't done any homework. I was not It was.
I mean, yeah. So this is a group project, Dan. You'd be the one who gets the passing grade because the rest.
I'm
the
one who tanked my section because I knew that Annie would pull her weight, and I wouldn't have to. I wouldn't have to do that. And then let's not. Oh, what's up?
Spoken like a true community podcast co-host would.
Hey, that's going on too. We'll get to there when we get to plugs because now I'm a man who wears many hats with podcasts, and apparently that's two hats. And speaking of the other OG, Chris McLafferty, thanks, buddy. Welcome back. Oh, he chose to mute himself. You have to unmute. I can't do it for you. There he is. How dare you?
Hey, I'm back on TV was the line that I started with, but no, it doesn't work as well.
No, you're definitely back.
Yeah. What are you drinking?
This? Doesn't it look like it says enchilada sauce, but it's not?
No, it does say that.
I know it does say that, but it's not. It's like acai juice and a little bit of caffeine.
God, like, you've gone Los Angeles real quick.
I like the idea of just turning
real quick
condiment bottles and jars into like just this is what I drink out of now. Here's a mayonnaise jar.
Moving. This all started because he was on the road mayonnaise. One day and he was drinking out of a Grey Poupon bottle, and everyone got really excited.
I had my pinky out and everything. Like. Very fancy. Anyway.
So fancy.
So this is, we're still, for those of you keeping track at home, well, we'll start off with this. Reef had a question. Have we all seen Ghostbusters? Everyone here has, correct?
Yes. Nope.
No, Manning!
I'm not a Ghostbusters fan. I'm sorry.
But you're a man.
That's okay, buddy.
I've only seen the first Ghostbusters. I've never been a Ghostbusters fan.
I mean, honestly, you could watch the new one, having only seen the first one.
Okay.
Yeah. There's not, like... I don't even know if there are really references to two.
Not really.
Kinda.
Not as much. I know that there is a big reveal near the end, so that's something that's been spoiled for me already. But I know that's connected. Oh. So.
Well, that's sad because it's a great reveal.
Yeah.
But I mean, I loved it. Chris and I saw it together. And it was a genuine blast. I was very happy to see what they did with it. And if they continue with this doing sequels, I would be very happy to see where it goes with a younger cast and Paul Rudd being kind of a conduit between the two. Yeah, being Paul Rudd. So hyper quick review. We did see it. We liked it a lot. I think, Eric, you saw it and liked it as well.
Oh, yeah. I was an emotional mess afterwards. So that's how you know it's good.
Both times. Cried both times.
Well, real quick, we could probably call it and Scream. Maybe we'll talk about Scream. No, we won't because that's 2022. But I thought it was a really good. What are they calling it? Retcons or requels or
A rebootquel?
Something like that.
Yeah, I thought
it was delayed sequel.
Make your own portmanteau, whatever it is.
Whatever they're doing, I want to say we can put Scream and Ghostbusters in that same realm that did it right. Right.
Both. Gotcha.
I think we came out. I don't know who else has seen Scream. We come out of that film and Jackass too. Jackass is the same way. They're basically handing off to the new.
I love Jackass. I don't want to see more Jackass. I don't want to see one of them die.
No. They're going to hand it off to the new wave of people. Maybe. And I felt like that's what they were trying to do. And I like that about Ghostbusters. And I like that about Scream. Instead of trying to beat a dead horse, they're handing it off to the new generation. And I thought both films did a great job of that.
I got some bad news for you, Dan. One of them already died.
I meant on camera. I know he died.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We don't know if it was on camera.
I was wondering who was going to mention that first.
Of course it was Nate.
Of course. And I'll just, to put a pin in Ghostbusters, it was probably my favorite theatrical film experience of 2021. But that's also because, unlike Mr. Manning, I am a Ghostbusters kid. That was my jam.
Hey,
other kids had He-Man or G.I. Joe or Transformers, but I was a Ghostbusters kid.
Real Ghostbusters kid.
That television show, that animated series written by J. Michael Straczynski. Fantastic stuff out there. Great. And it hit me. I did not mind the 2016 film, so I wasn't coming from a state of like what we felt The Force Awakens was, where it was, you need to wash out this bad taste of all these other movies and remind me of what I love about the franchise. But I did enjoy it. Would like further sequels. Don't know if we're going to get them, but hey, it was nice.
I think it'll be, that's going to be determining a lot of like rentals and like how that goes as far as.
I think you've already said they're green lighting a sequel.
I would say that they're probably going to do it for sure.
I hope so.
I would be surprised if they don't.
I think Jason Reitman did a really good, that was a very, especially given, I know Eric saw the 2016 Ghostbusters. And he's, you can see by his face how he felt about that.
No, I liked it. You can check out the review on our YouTube channel where I gave it a solid B.
Yeah. But it was also, it was still one of those things like having the backlash in both ways, even though it's a good movie and a Paul Feig movie, like just where it all goes and what Jason Reitman and co had to do to thread the needle to get this one, like appease pretty much everybody. I think they did a really good job with it. Anyway, so that was our brief breakdown of Ghostbusters Afterlife, because
that's right. You was got say, nominated for an Oscar. Spoiler.
Let's call it, you know, brief in the Ramble On franchise series.
in the Ramble On.
It made it to BAFTA.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's right.
Well, and Jason Reitman is an Academy Award nominee, which transitions us to.
Hey.
Jason Thank Reitman, you, he Nate. Got nominated for. What was the?
What was it? Thank you for smoking.
Was it Kate with Kate Winslet?
No, it was
the one about masturbation. Which one was that one?
They can all be about masturbation,
right? We'll think about it.
If you talk hard enough, Chris.
It was Judo and Up in the Air.
No, the one I was joking about was Men, Women, and Children.
Oh, that one was not a good one.
That's a poll.
Deep cut. Well, yes, it is for all of the men here. Yeah, cool. I was going to let that joke hang for a second. There. Thank you. I was going to wait, just make it awkward for everyone. So
look, it's all in the face.
gentlemen of the panel, since you're all going to be like, I will be corralling the discussion, but it's all mostly going to be your Oscar talk. Do we want to go quickly through? You want me to bounce around? What sort of direction do you guys want to take this? Like, do you want to?
Bounce around sounds fun.
Okay. So,
I mean, let's not try to have like a 1 hour conversation on, you know, best sound.
I'll try to.
I
will fight you for it.
I don't hear, and I'll say, since we have both Manning and Nate here, and they could tell you how the show actually works. They normally start with what, best supporting actor or actress?
Doesn't it all flip flop?
From it really kind of depends on the madness that they decide they want to do. Because Nate, correct me if I'm wrong, like they decide whatever they want to do, and they'll tell us like 2 weeks before.
Yeah, pretty much. And each time like someone comes in like, we're gonna make it different, and then it's like, well, it wasn't that different. And usually I think it's almost like in movie screenwriting, where it's like you got to start with a bang and then you can kind of hold them off for a little bit before you give them another bang. And that's why I think, yeah, they usually go with one of the supporting actor awards first, unless it's just like last year, which was the worst Oscar ceremony I ever watched in my life. And then it was just like, you know, who cares? Whatever.
Wait, guys, I'm confused. Were we rambling on about the movies nominated for the Oscars, or are we rambling on about the Oscars?
Oscars themselves? I feel like that would be a different conversation. Yes. All of the above.
Okay.
All of it.
By the way, guys, I can't deal with like this like mirror. Like every time the hair gets in my face, I think I'm going this.
You brush it back into your face?
It's like,
it's like,
but I'm right.
It's reversed.
Get a fan. Just have it blow in the breeze.
Or just start shaving your
cinematic.
Head.
Because I'm a professional, we're just going to start somewhere. We'll just start with best supporting actor, and I'll be going through. You guys will tell me what you're thinking, who you thought was snubbed out of here. And I'll go through the ones who were actually being nominated, and then you guys can weigh in, and I'll bounce around to everybody, because why not? This is what we do here. There's no structure. None of this matters. So for best supporting actor this year,
where the points don't matter. What is it? Where the points don't matter. And
it's more like our opinions don't matter, but same difference. So first off, best supporting actor, you had Kieran Hines, I hope I pronounced that right, from Belfast, Troy Kotsur from Coda, Jesse Plemons from The Power of the Dog, J.K. Simmons from Being the Ricardos, and Cody Smith-McPhee from Power of the Dog. So I'll go right next to me. Eric, first initial thoughts, these five, anyone they're missing, anyone you favorite, what are you feeling?
I mean, I'll just start off with the shocker of J.K. Simmons for Being the Ricardos. I mean, it was a nice role, but Oscar-worthy, and I'm going to get... that's a no for me. My only real shocker was I thought Belfast was going to get two best supporting actors with Jamie Dornan getting the other one, even though he is a lead role, but I know they were like marketing him as a supporting actor. But I mean, for me, my winner here is Troy Kaltzer for Coda, because man, that man made me cry hard.
So similar thoughts, Manning. I'm seeing some thumbs up. What are you thinking?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. First off, Troy Kotzer is the out of all these that we are have here. I completely agree. The scene where he's putting his hands upon Emilia Jones's character's throat. I forgot her name.
While she's singing. Oh,
yeah. You need to add the context of while she's singing.
I'm over here like, oh my god, he's a murderer.
It's a heartwarming moment.
Yes, it's a very heartbreaking, heartwarming moment, but yeah.
It took a turn that I didn't see coming, and that's why it's the talk of the town. No, but I truly think you make a great point, Eric, that the fact that J.K. Simmons came out of nowhere, because he only had up to that point was Critics' Choice. He missed SAG, he missed BAFTA. Well, everyone missed BAFTA, and we won't talk about BAFTA for now. But then, like,
BAFTA.
No. Obligatory Bruno reference. But it's interesting that he made it in to show the love for Ricardo's, and we'll get to the other categories in a little bit. But it also didn't do great, but it did great with the actors, so it kind of shows you where the support is. It's just interesting, because I would have loved the fact I would have loved that, you know, looking at the list now, there isn't anyone that I'm like, this is a glaring omission, except if you talk about, you know, Mass getting snubbed for best supporting actor, which I know Eric is also another fan of. Jason Isaacs getting in would have made my day. But I also think
any of them would have, but
any of them, I would have taken Reed Birney, someone. But yeah, I think that Troy Kotzer is, while Cody Smith McPhee, I think, is the one who is currently ahead. Jesse Plemons coming in there as well too, for the Dog Boys to make it in. This just kind of shows the fact that their Power of the Dog has strength, and Belfast kind of starting to die just a little bit. Yeah. Again, we have a month before things can really pick up.
All right, what are you thinking, Nate?
I agree with the gentleman. I do think Troy Kotzer is my personal heartfelt pick, just because I came to the Coda bus late, and it is a substantially wonderful movie, and I'm glad that it got multiple awards, and he is just so good in it. I am not as disfavorable when it comes to J.K. Simmons as the other gentleman, because he was actually my favorite part of the movie.
So, yeah, but it was still not a good movie.
No, I'm not going to say that.
Right. So, you buried the lead there, Nate. You also didn't like the film.
No.
Neither did I. So.
Too many narrative devices, too many confused, just too much going on. But hey, if someone's going to get nominated from it and it's J.K. Simmons, why not? I do wonder if Jesse Plemons and Cody Smith McPhee.
I think I might have said that wrong. Yeah, Smith.
Just call him K-Dog. That's what he likes to call
K-Dog.
K-Dog.
It's better than KP, but still. I wonder if, like, maybe there's just enough there to split the vote so that Troy wins, because I feel like Cody is the definite front runner, and I think Jesse Plemons is the surprise. The others were kind of, hey, I was calling J.K. Simmons, so I'm going to say, like, that was less of a surprise, but Jesse Plemons, it's like, it's that kind of nomination, and I liked him in it, but it's that kind of nomination every year where it's like, here's your nomination, thanks for playing.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like, you did good. If you're talking about like that group award sort of effect, I think he just kind of like got drafted in by just how much they love that movie. So rooting for Troy, wouldn't be upset if Cody took it as well. J.K. Simmons, why the hell not?
Every time you say Cody, I think you're mispronouncing Coda. I was like, does he think there's an I at the end or something?
Before we hop to Chris, it is on Apple TV, correct?
Yes.
Yep, Apple TV. Yes.
Apple TV, Reef. Chris, so we already heard a little bit of your not-so-secret being the Ricardo's opinion, but do you have anything else to add to these gentlemen for what they
said? Yeah, I mean, Troy, I think, should win easily. You know, what he brings to that. And I think it's very difficult. Like we saw with Sound of Metal, I think it's difficult to play someone with a disability correctly. And he did such an amazing job of not just getting over like, oh, I'm deaf, you know, like how hard some of those things are, but really like as a human being, not just as like a crutch type of vibe. And so I thought that's why he was a far superior performance. It was harder for him. There was, you don't have some of the shine that Ricardo's and some of the other things have in that movie. It's very character driven. So I thought that was great by him. We didn't really talk about people that I thought could have been nominated. There was a lot of love for Bradley Cooper, but if anyone who saw Licorice Pizza, he's in it for maybe 5-10 minutes. I know it's supporting, but that's almost like an extended cameo for me. So it's close.
Agreed.
That said, he was amazing in it. This is very divisive. I love Jared Leto in that film in House of Gucci. I thought it was phenomenal. I get
that. You're right there, Manning.
He was supposed
no,
to be.
No, please go ahead.
He was supposed to be kind of the weirdo in the family, and I thought he pulled it off really well. I thought it was, to me, he was supposed to be the oddball, the black sheep of that entire film. When everyone was taking it seriously, he's kind of the jackass. And for Jared Leto to play a jackass in a charming way is very hard for him. So I thought he did a great job. The one that I was surprised by that came to me later was John Bernthal from King John Richard. Was surprisingly really good. I didn't expect to see that, but I was kind of surprised. Jesse Plemons, I think, is just getting in on the Power of the Dog ride. Like, I think it's one of those things where it's, they don't look at the category sometimes. They just go, I like this movie. What category? They're like, well, what should I nominate? What movie did I like? Oh, Power of the Dog. Yeah, let's throw in Jesse too, you know? And I don't think it was so much that they actually went through some of the movies. That one's not so much of a glaring problem, but we'll get to more. One thing I do want to point out that I think is shitty while we're talking about Best Supporting Actor, a Razzie for Affleck in The Last Duel. What the hell happened? No. I hate the Razzies in general, but when you do stuff like that, what you may have like 0.01 credibility left and you've just lost it all.
The Razzies are lowest common denominator, low-hanging fruit. Every
it
year,
may have
they're
been
like
funny at first, but it's not good anymore.
Right, it's not funny.
No harm. The entire internet is here to drag you down. We don't need an award show. No. That's my.
It's literally like
not only.
Please, Eric.
Not only should Ben Affleck not have been nominated for The Last Duel, he also could have been nominated for The Tender Bar. He could have been nominated twice because that's how good he was this year. So don't rain on the Affleck parade.
No, I completely agree with that statement. What I was going to add on that is that. It's like you're telling the same joke over and over again, thinking it's going to be funny. And it stopped being funny after like the first or third time. And now you're just beating a dead horse, for lack of a better term, with what the Razzies are doing. And all
the Razzies.
Nah. Yeah. All right. So any other snubs, anything else you guys want to talk about when we're talking supporting
actor?
Real
quick, I want to hear Manny had a reaction to Jared Leto. So I want to hear that.
Yes, I will go by. Okay, this is me saying that I actually really enjoyed House of Gucci. I don't think it's a good film, but I had a fun time watching it. Meaning I was completely enthralled with how weird this world was. Mm-hmm. The thing that I didn't care for Jared Leto is that I couldn't feel the Parmesan coursing through his veins enough. I needed more oregano on top of him, because at this juncture, I don't think enough basil was on top of his entire
body. I also like how you were... You were doing the Italian hand gesture as
you were
talking about
that. That's literally what he is. He is a caricature the entire time. It's
so
me.
Good.
Right.
How could
that
you?
Performance showed that he should be the one who voices Mario, not Chris Pratt.
There you go.
Yes. You could. So it didn't work for me. I thought he was funny in a really
Luigi,
not great kind of way.
I gotta eat the mushroom.
I get why someone might hate it. For me, it worked. Yeah. But it was very, it was one of those things where it's like you either hate it or you love it, and there's no.
Oh, I was on the hate train. I'm watching this like, this movie has one of the best performances of the year and one of the worst performances of the year.
I like how
real
this
quick
is
while
also...
we wrap up Gucci,
we'll
I thought
come back
to
it
would
it
works
up.
Great as a miniseries. I think the problem is they tried to take a story and drag it. And there were so many more interesting pieces that if that was a a 6-part film or a TV series, that would have been amazing. But I think they tried to shove too much by stretching it out and not let the characters. There are too many scenes. You just don't know why the hell is he doing this. There was no buildup. How did this character get to this spot? That's where I'm at with it.
Sorry. It feels like it should have been like a Ryan Murphy FX TV series. Yeah,
we will definitely get back to House of Gucci. We are 25 minutes in and we've covered one category. Also,
the Oscars!
Yeah, ramble on. Chris, I also like how your name makes it sound like you are in prison and that your parole is hopefully up for 2023.
I don't know who wrote that. I don't know where that came from, and I don't know how to change it. So,
I was going to say, I didn't write it. I'm pretty sure I'm the only one allowed to change other names other than yourself. So if you didn't write that, that's kind of impressive.
Maybe this was from the last
time. Oh, no, it was from the last time you were on. Yeah.
That's so appropriate. That it fits so well. Strangely.
I can't wait until we do this in 2024, and the joke is...
And it's still the same from 2 years ago.
The power of Dan is funny, though.
Like let's just flip out. While we're here, let's go to the other side of the coin. Let's do Best Supporting Actress. You have nominees being Jessie Buckley from The Lost Daughter, Ariana DeBose. DeBose or DeBose? DeBose?
Just call her Winner. Hey. That's fine.
Okay. Well, for a West Side Story. Thank you, Chris. Judi Dench from Belfast. Oh, my God. Judi Dench got nominated for an Oscar, guys. Kirsten Dunst for The Power of the Dog. And... I'm going to butcher this name. I apologize. Anjanou Ellis? That's a guess.
Yes.
Or King Richard. Close. It's close to that. That's correct. And we'll hop in with Chris, since you were already going a little further. So Ariana DeBose for West Side Story. That's your winner. Do you have other thoughts?
You know, Kristen Dunst was terrible. I don't know what we're talking about here. Did we all watch the same movie? Like, I don't know how she snuck in there. I think she's going back.
A lot of nodding from our other people. I'll try to expose a little bit for people who only listen to the audio.
Ariana was great. I thought she nailed it. I thought she carried a lot of it. I will say, Judi Dench was incredible in Belfast. The whole movie kind of is solid, and we'll talk, I'm sure, about that later. But it was really that end scene with her in the last like 3 to 5 minutes that really made it come together for me. In a movie that goes, oh, okay, this might be one of my favorites of the year. And so for that reason alone, you have to consider Judy as one of the top people for this.
It's Judy. Otherwise,
yeah. Ruth in Passing, not nominated, I thought was great. That's, again, a very character-driven Ruth story. Yep. And she was my great in that. Breaks. Again, this is a pretty polarizing year. But Cate Blanchett in Don't Look Up I also thought was interesting. Just because it was a kind of interesting take. I know she was on the short list. Again, this is only 9 months, so it feels like we might be missing some things. But I haven't seen I haven't seen Lost Daughter yet. So out of those, that's what it is. And then again, King Richard, I felt like she was in it a little too less for me to have a strong pull for supporting actress. But that's where I'm at with it.
The only thing I want to say, and you brought that up about the glorified cameo of who was in...
Cooper, Licorice Pizza.
Yes. The only thing I wanted to mention is most people know, when Anthony Hopkins won for Best Actor, he was in, what was his screen time for Silence of the Lambs? I think it was under 15 minutes.
It was over than that, but it was definitely like
under 20.
It was under 30
minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's also, to me, like, just throwing that out there, it's also impact as well. So like, that's why I think Bradley Cooper would have had a shot for that, given all things being equal, but... Obviously.
Well, in Fargo, I believe Frances McDormand's character is actually on screen less than William H. Macy's character, yet she was in lead actress and he was in supporting actor.
Okay. Well, there you go. And then, Nate, continue on supporting.
Well, since we're talking supporting, I'm going to respectfully disagree with my insane cohort.
You can disrespectfully disagree if you want to as well. We'll allow that.
Because right movie, wrong actress. Katarina Balf is the one that should have been nominated for Belfast, not Judi Dench in an Irish. Or you should go home. You should go. Don't look back. Go home.
Okay, I take it back. I want the Razzies and I want Nathan nominated.
but as Judi Dench.
I'm also going to mention how happy I am being Switzerland today and not putting out these hot takes. So go on.
Katarina Balf had way more going on in that movie than just homespun Judi Dench getting it because she's Judi Dench in a movie that has black and white photography. Katarina Balf was way more deserving.
Do you think she should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actress or Best Actress? Because that's where I could say that she could have been nominated for Best Actress and she just didn't get the votes.
No, supporting.
You think so? Okay.
Everyone besides the little kid in that movie is a supporting actor to that story.
Well, fair enough. All right, then I'll agree with you on that. That's good.
I would have also nominated Martha Plimpton from Mass, and Dowd from Mass. You know what? Jason Isaacs in a wig from Mass. Just something to squeeze them all in there because, oh, so deserving. Kirsten Dunst, I did like her. Wasn't blown away, but did like her. First nomination. Good for you. And your husband got nominated too. So
that was a great story if you haven't looked that up.
They're cute together. I didn't know until like last year that they got married and had multiple kids after being in Fargo as a married couple. So it's just like, wow. You're a.
I don't know what else is going to blow your mind. Jesse Plemons is 33. Are you kidding me?
He is the doughiest, most most lived 33-year-old that I've ever seen in my life.
I don't know. Like there's 50.
They like get compared as one and the same.
Yeah, but you know what? Jesse Plemons isn't like, you know, nagging me into buying cryptocurrency. So he's got.
The joke I was going to make, if you look up people in politics, that's what'll blow your mind is how young some of those people who like have hate coursing through their veins and how much it ages them. Anyway, yes. Nate, other snubs. Who's your favorite?
Well, my favorite is the same with good Mr. McLafferty is going to win. It's Arianna DuBois. Come on. She is that movie. She is phenomenal. She is just coursing with so much energy. The others, I can say each one of them was fine. But Arianna DuBois, it's just like if there's ever, I think, a lock in the acting categories for this year, it's got to be her.
All right, Manning.
No, I agree with Nate. This is the lock for Ariana because she, I think, has the momentum going into for. I think she literally has everything. The only person that was close to her was Balfe, and we all know what happened with that. I'm still confused as to how that happened because BAFTA. Well, Don't mention BAFTA, Manning. BAFTA's weird.
Triggered.
Don't give them that power anymore. Don't give them that power anymore, Manning.
I know. I don't. No, seriously, though, I think this is when chaos, because I believe this was the very first category that was mentioned. And the moment when Jessie Buckley came on, you knew things were going to go down. First off, I'm really happy that she's an Oscar nominated actress and that Jesse Plemons got her the same year, because that means I'm going to pretend these are their Oscar nominations for I'm Thinking of Ending Things. So that's what I'm going to pretend that it's for that because I love that movie. But no, regardless, I think these are some fine nominees. Half of them are fine. I don't think Judi Dench deserves that. And her inclusion really threw me off because not only is she a very small supporting role in comparison to what Balfe is doing, Judi Dench has got nothing else in support-wise. And the fact that it was at the expense of Balfe, who did get everything that she was supposed to before there, kind of shows there's some discrepancy between what we can kind of predict and what actually transpires. And secondly, Ruth Negga and Ann Dowd missing, and Martha Plimpton as well, too, as we've mentioned. Passing and Mass are like my one and two, maybe like three of the year. And the fact that they all have zero at the Oscars is just kind of sad. I mean, I expected it. I was prepared for it, but it still hurt at the end of the day because Ruth Negga gives an amazing performance and I think is truly a snub. Kick out. Ooh, wait. Oh, who do I want to kick out? Kick out Dench. Put in Dowd. Take out Dinch, put in Dowd. Because that'd be great.
Thanks for stopping by, buddy. I think the panel will also agree with that sentiment. Jackass Forever was great. We're talking Oscars, but I agree. Thank you, John.
There's always hope for next year's Oscars.
Hey, that would blow me away. Eric, do you have anything to add to this conversation?
I am Team Chris when it comes to Kirsten Dunst being nominated. I feel the same way about her performance that you felt, Nate, about Denzel in what was the one where he's the drunk pilot?
Flight.
Yes, where you're just like, it's just an easy drunk performance. It just wasn't anything special. But yes, now this is DuBose's Oscar. Like, ideally, what should happen is because I know the Oscars, the Academy loves just giving it to the Best Supporting Actress in a Musical, which is why I'm shocked Leslie Grace didn't get nominated for In the Heights, because I felt like that could have been a good one. Mm-hmm. Could have took out Dench for that one as well. Sorry, Chris.
That's all right. Dench is going down. Yeah, everyone
of course, now watch.
Lady. Punch her down.
Watch. Now that we've said that, she's going to win.
Yeah.
I'll be texting all of you. What's up now?
I will eat my hat if Judi Dench wins for Belfast.
I will eat my shoe. So we will both eat something.
Old timey references.
I will eat a bagel. I was going to eat a bagel anyway.
But yeah, no, this is like find a way to have her perform beforehand, and then like when she's like, you know, done, you know, she had her big moment, just here you go.
Right. All right, yeah. Moving on real quick. John, this is the entertainment we're looking for here. Our buddy's pooping at work and he's watching us right now.
100% what you should do, get paid on the clock for pooping at work.
Get paid right. on the clock
Are
pooping at work.
Are you wearing a Matt Stafford jersey?
Who? What? Oh, you're talking to Eric.
What are you wearing? Is that a Matt Stafford
jersey? Lions polo. I got my Stafford jersey over there.
He'll be wearing that on Sunday.
There you go.
There it is.
And we don't have the cutout. The cutout is also missing.
It's in the mail.
Oh, what? Sarah finally forced me to take that downstairs.
No.
Okay.
But you had another cutout?
Besides no, the one that was like him in the back.
Yeah, my cutout of my head.
That was in the Detroit Stadium.
It was at anyway. Ford Field during the year of COVID.
Let's move on. Let's knock out a couple of quick ones just because we can talk about performances and we're gonna have to talk about leads and best pictures and stuff. So let's go through best sound and should I be super diplomatic and say everyone's name on the off chance any of them will ever see this, or should we just do the actual movies?
Just do the movie titles.
Okay. Best sound. Belfast, Dune, No Time to Die, The Power of the Dog, or West Side Story. And we're going to hop some of Manning. What are you thinking about best sound? Granted, we don't have sound design or editing anymore. It's now just one category. So sucks for you guys.
And that's a debate we're going to have to the end of time if they should have combined it. And we may have a split in a couple years' time. We'll never know. But no, this is Dune. I mean, half the craft categories are going to be going to Dune regardless. So basically everything else is just like, hi, we're here too. Oh, thanks. This is Dune. Dune's over here like, kids, thanks for showing up here.
But are we sure that it's good? Because the director didn't get nominated. So
Hold your tongue, Chris. We'll get there.
Now, that is also an excellent point as well, too. But the thing is, the only downside, the only thing comparing to is probably Power of the Dog. So I would be shocked because Dune did get the second number of nominations. The fact that it missed director, when we get to that, I think I have a couple theories about why he missed it.
Well,
I don't know.
And this is also my question to you while you're bringing this up. Do you think, and the only reason I'm saying this may not go as you say, Dune easy number one, do we think that happens or do we think they get Return of the King and this gets bumped down until we see the second part?
I think it's Dune right away.
The tech awards, I agree with Manny. It's gonna be Dune for sound, yeah. Dune mm-hmm. for score, Dune for production design,
Dune for special
for
effects,
cinematography, Dune for special effects. It's gonna win more Oscars than any other movie.
I think cinematography is the one tech that it's probably that Power of the Dog could have a chance. But either way, yeah, I agree with you.
Okay.
Or Macbeth for that one.
I should have put these all together, but anyway, sound, Manning, wrapping it up. Or do you have more to add to that?
Nope, sound. That's basically what I have.
Yeah, I think we can all agree as a panel on that one.
I was going to say, does anyone else have anything else other to add to sound?
The only thing I want to say is that A Quiet Place 2 was screwed, but other than that...
Rob.
I think that goes back to like the fact that they like certain movies and then they forget about individual categories. Like, no one was sitting there going, oh, you know what I was thinking? Best sounds. Oh, Quiet Place. They're just like, all right, here are my 15 movies I really liked. Where does it fit? And I think that's the problem with the Oscars.
Someone's probably like, it's called A Quiet Place. There's no sound in it.
Well, the sound design of Judi Dench going, oh, don't look back. Just keep going. Brilliant. You know, that sound really made the moment that much more
acceptable. Remind me not to put Judi Dench in a tag for this video or this podcast.
Oh, we're tagging her so hard.
She's going to like drive up to Columbus and beat Nate with a stick.
Right?
And he'll eat his hat if that happens.
And you know what? She'll get nominated for an Oscar
with a blender and a straw because she'll knock his teeth out because she could. And I believe in her. Okay. So that was sound. We'll go through while we're doing audio cues. Best original score would be Don't Look Up. Surprising. Dune, Encanto, Parallel Mothers, or The Power of the Dog. And let's say Chris. What are your thoughts on best original score?
This is the one where I don't really, again, this isn't going to come as a surprise after the talk, but I'm not a big fan of Power of the Dog. That said, I thought the score worked really well. And this is, I haven't seen Parallel Mothers, I should point out, but I do think it's going to end up coming down to Dune and Power of the Dog. And to be quite frank, I don't really have a horse in this race. And I think either one of them did a great job of showcasing what it was meant to be. Power of the Dog the score isn't the reason that it doesn't work. In fact, it's one of the reasons that it kind of does work. You know, it really sets the tone and the setting. And when a score can do that in a way that is on par with the cinematography, as far as creating this dynamic, that's where I think both it really did well. Dune obviously creates this epic sci-fi, and Power of the Dog is, you know, a slow burning Western. And I think both scores deserve credit for that. And I don't know who's going to win besides those two. But to what Manning was saying earlier, I think this might be one that Power of the Dog might be able to steal.
Got you. Eric.
I agree with Chris. I mean, it's a two dog race. He could maybe throw in a third with Encanto, but it's going to come down to toss a coin, probably Oscar night for the Oscar pool here.
I have a theory. I do think Dune is most deserving. I mean, Hans Zimmer was creating new sounds with that to give like its own sort of organic feel. I did really enjoy the Power of the Dog score as well. I think they're going to go Encanto because it is quite good. However, I think it's because they know that they screwed the pooch when it came to picking the song from the movie, and it's not going to win song. So then they're just like, let's give it score.
So you think they're going to give it score instead of song, if by that logic, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I know our next category, Dan. Let's go ahead and just jump to that.
Well, real quick, Nate, question right for you on the Johnny Greenwood. So I think his score was like the front runner to win, if I'm remembering correctly, because this was 14 years ago, for There Will Be Blood. But then they ended up disqualifying it because it was too close. So I wonder if there's a little bit, because that score and this score are decently similar. I wouldn't put it past the Oscar voters to say, okay, this is for There Will Be Blood and this film too.
Maybe. I don't think Johnny Greenwood has been in the industry long. I mean, he's, you know, part of Radiohead, but as a film scorist to pay his dues that like he is owed. But if Power the Dog makes a run, I think you'll find out with score.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he's done quite a bit with PT, buddy.
PT. Gotcha.
I know.
Did you anything to add, Manning, or are we good to move on?
No, we're good.
All right. So, and then since it was brought up, since we think score and song are going to be right next to each other, might as well talk about that one real quick. We have from Be Alive from King Richard, music and lyrics by Dixon. Hold on. As Eric would say.
It's Dixon! It's Beyonce.
Right, it's all caps.
Dixon. It's all caps. Dixon! And Beyonce Knowles Carter. Dos Oraguitas. I definitely butcher that too. Lin-Manuel Miranda for Encanto.
Two butterflies.
Down to Joy. Music and lyrics by Van Morrison. Didn't know that one. No Time to Die, Billie Eilish and Finneas O'Connell. And then Somehow You Do. And music and lyrics by Dane Warren for a movie called Four Good Days. I don't think I've ever heard of that movie until
with
I
Kristen
said it right
Stewart,
now.
Right?
It's about opioid addiction.
And it was written by Diane Warren.
That's the thing to know, because Miss Diane Warren with her 12 nominations and no win.
One of these well, she's not getting another one this year.
So, and somebody correct me, who was predicting that the score was going to go to Encanto, so Eric. This would go to, okay.
No, that was Nate.
Nate, oh, okay, Nate, so sorry. If score goes to Encanto, then who gets best original song?
Well, it would have been Encanto had they submitted either Surface Pressure or We Don't Talk About Bruno, or even probably one of the other songs. But like, what if we submit the one song that's entirely in Spanish and is just kind of nice, but is definitely not going to get the radio airplay that the others are. And it's just like, oh, you have misjudged this on a colossal scale. Like, if you could just take that You Blew It Adam Sandler Billy Madison gif and turn it into someone's just decision making, that's what this is. So because of that, it becomes, well, are they going to give it to the Beyonce? Are they going to give it to Billie Eilish? Van Morrison has a dozen songs in Belfast. And so he said, well, I might as well write another one. Or maybe they'll even give it to, you know, hey, Diane Warren, she's due. Because there's not like a runaway favorite this year. So I honestly don't know. I could see them going Beyonce. I could see them go Billie Eilish. I'll just throw it with Billie Eilish.
I think it is going to be Eilish. And the kind of shitty part about Eilish winning is it's kind of this weird spot, right? So Eilish, this song came out in 2020, February of 2020. I know the movie didn't come out till 2021, but we're talking about a song that came out in 2020 and not late 2020. We're talking about February. So like, to me, that's kind of where I think is weird. I wonder if there's going to be some Oscar conversations about that moving forward. I do want to just quickly say, how big are the names this year? Beyonce, Billie Eilish, those are some of the biggest. Lin-Manuel,
Diane Warren, come on.
And Van, like, these are huge names, and I don't know that we get that every year, but it's seemingly becoming a trend where that's becoming more and more. I will say, no matter who wins, it won't be as cool as 3-6 Mafia winning, so like, let's just move on, right?
I guarantee you, if the Oscar ceremony will have them perform these songs this year, mm-hmm. especially with the lineup of Best Picture nominees, they need to bring in some star power with this.
Oh, yeah, fair.
For certain.
All right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, man.
Yes, what I was going to quickly add upon those lines is that, yeah, I think this is, especially with No Time to Die, I'm looking back, the interesting trajectory of the James Bond films are that until Skyfall, they kind of just were appearing here and there in the Oscars. And then subsequently, we've had two so far. This is the third one subsequently that have been nominated for an Oscar. And it would only be fair if Writing's on the Wall by Sam Smith could win an Oscar. It's only fair if No Time to Die wins the Oscar for this one, because this is a much better song than Writing's on the
Wall. That one was terrible.
That would be like, it was bad. Three Bond movies in a row winning.
Exactly. I'm until that trend is broken, I'm going to predict it, because like the first one was like in 1968 for Casino Royale's Look of Love, Live and Let Die by Paul McCartney from 74, and then original song The Spy Who Loved Me, and then you have to go for Your Eyes Only. And then Skyfall. So it's kind of like there is a trajectory, but it's
Skyfall.
It's like, you know, so there is a possibility.
I was waiting for you to drop a thunderball in there and just be like, yeah.
Thunderball! But I'm just going to say really quickly with Nate, I agree, because what they did is Disney played it safe with that nomination, because they went with the one like, okay, this is the most Oscar-like song, because if this was like any other film and that was just a song from it, it would get nominated. But you're right. Service pressure. We don't talk about Bruno. What else can I do? Three certified bangers. But they play it safe, so. But I agree. It's probably going to go Eilish, because for some reason, Bond films, I don't
Eric,
get it.
That was such a good point you just brought up. The dynamic for best song or song now has changed. It used to be like, you're right, these kind of ballads that kind of fit within the film, and now we're bringing in Billie Eilish, we're bringing in Beyonce, we're talking about radio bangers. And so now it's, I think we're watching the evolution of best song go from just like these Whitney Houston and which also became a banger, and I think that might have been the piece that pulled it through.
Now, what I'll quickly add too, just so we I believe, and I could be wrong about this, but Disney submitted the song before it became completely viral.
Yes,
for correct. We Don't Talk About Bruno. So I give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, because they were like, oh, this is the safe one, because you're right. But they didn't know TikTok was going to take it and be like, we're going to make it.
Well, not only that, like, I'm not sure who among us actually saw Encanto in the theater. I know I did, and I was like one of the like few people in that theater. Like, literally, no one was talking about Encanto until it was released on Disney Plus.
That is entirely accurate. You could just look at the social media mentions on all of them after it was on Disney Plus. That's when they started becoming viral.
Did you dance in the theater, Eric?
No, I did cry like a baby at the end. It's like, she finally gets a doorknob with the magic works.
I was there crying too, not with you, but I was in a theater with my girlfriend and her kids, like my fam. We had it to ourselves.
I'm surprised you guys don't hang out more, Eric and Nate. Why don't you guys go to movies together? That got awkward. Sorry, I didn't realize it was me.
I just timing.
Timing and, you know, COVID.
All the above. We, Chris and I, risk COVID to hang out together. That's what we do.
Outback. We hang out virtually. Thank you very much.
That's true. Right. All of the above. All right. So there was
love you, birthday boy.
Yeah, I did say that earlier. Belated birthday boy. So for the sake, because I don't know if we approached 3 hours when we did this last year. I can't remember.
It was close. It was close.
Yeah. And that was just with three of us.
And I actually saw most of them last year. So we are, for the sake of time, because we haven't even gotten to the big ones yet, I'm going to bounce around a little bit, and I'm going to pull up ones that I think are a little bit interesting or things that we could go through quickly. So we all kind of agreed that Dune was going to be doing a lot of technical ones. So we don't really need to talk about best production design. We don't need to talk about best visual effects.
Or Bruno.
Or we don't know. We don't need to. I mean, but we don't do it either.
Apparently Disney doesn't need to talk about Bruno.
So
let's go back and talk Disney, about it again.
None.
Disney stepped in.
Let's make him angry.
Misstepped. International feature. Do you gentlemen have a strong desire to talk about those? Because there are a few interesting things in this, especially one of them being nominated for Best Picture. And then there, I know there's also a lot of buzz about one of the most recent released ones with the worst person in the world.
When you are nominated in like a documentary or an animated film or an international feature, and you're also nominated for Best Film, congratulations, you've won the kiddie table. It's a slam dunk. So yeah, Drive My Car has this in the bag. Still haven't seen it. I imagine it is very good.
I am actually curious. I normally agree with your line of thinking, but Worst Person in the World is starting to get some heat. It's gotten some nominations in other places. So between those two, I'm curious. Flea was also in for international feature, right? And that's up for animated and documentary.
So it was the five for international are Drive My Car, Flea. Drive My Car was from Japan. Flea was from Denmark. The Hand of God was from Italy. Luana, A Yak in the Classroom, was from Bhutan. And then Worst Person in the World was from Norway.
But I do
I did my best to get through that, okay?
I did want to point out one thing that I've loved over the last couple of years is we're starting to see more international films get nominated in other categories besides international.
Yes,
which is great. It was Mads last year. Or maybe that was 2 years ago. Another round last year.
And then Parasite winning the big award too.
Parasite.
That's the thing I was
won a lot of awards.
And then this year you're talking about Worst Person in the World, which is a 3-hour movie. You know, we're not talking about it's a tough one. Worst Person in the World was great too. But we kind of talked about this before. This is my last thing I'll try to say.
You're fine.
It's hard to see some of these films out here. We were talking about this earlier. Even in LA, we're in LA, and it's, you know, Worst Person in the World has like maybe a couple of screenings and a couple of theaters. It's not everyone is as cool as Nate.
It's Nate. You know what that says, Nate? That says fucking redacted.
Yeah. And Drive Not and for now you. You're cut off. They're never going to send it to you ever again. They're like, look at him giving away our secrets. But Drive
That's
My
why
Car.
He's blurred. That's why
after he gets beat up by Judy Dench.
It's one after the other.
Just getting in line.
She may be old, but she's feisty.
Oh, just wait till we get to actor and acting or actor and actress.
We'll get there. International feature. Any other thoughts, gentlemen?
I mean, it's going to be tough to call, I think. I mean, I know, like, the easy thing is to say Drive My Car, but, I mean, Flea's been nominated in 3 different categories, which is amazing. I can't think of a film that's done that before. And then, and the buzz around the Worst Person in the World is heating up, so it's going to be fun.
I think easy to call, because I think this is Drive My Car in a walk. The Worst Person in the World...
Can Judy Dench come beat you up if you're wrong?
I don't know. I've actually seen The Worst Person in the World because of my screeners as a critic. It is not 3 hours, Chris. You can save yourself 50 minutes.
No, Drive My Car is 3 hours.
Yes, but I thought you were in reference to Worst Person in the World. It's quite good. Happy to see it in the screenplay nomination as well.
Yes.
Drive My Car in a walk.
I like, hold on. We have to acknowledge that humblest of brag from Nate. Oh, I saw it because of my screeners.
Oh. Well, I saw it because I live in LA, so.
Whatever. Hand of God, I would
like
just.
I said,
I would just
like I said at the beginning,
there.
Guys, we're all above average. It's okay.
Said there's one person below average.
That's right.
Yeah, it's me. I've already acknowledged it. We're moving on from that.
It's a mystery. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I'm pulling back the curtain from that mystery. All right, so that was international feature, only because it's literally right next to what we're doing. Let's talk cinematography, because that will be fun and interesting. So you have Dune, it was Greg Fraser, and Greg is spelled very strangely. Nightmare Alley, Dan Loudston, Power of the Dog, Ari Wagner, Tragedy of Macbeth, Bruno, Bill Bono, and West Side Story with Yanis Kaminsky. So let's open Manning. What's going on over there? What are you thinking about cinematography?
Oh, well, first off, I love the I just want to say that the Tragedy of Macbeth cinematography is just like theatrical perfection. It's stylized in a way that really itches that seventh seal Ingmar Bergman informium over there. Like, yes, I love it. So it's not winning.
No, it's not. That's why we're talking about
it. It's not. Exactly. I'm just kind of happy for it. At this point, I think it's easily going to be Ari Wagner for The Power of the Dog or Greg Fraser for Dune. I think this is the one tech, maybe besides maybe score, that Power of the Dog could win, mainly based upon the performance that we've seen before and the fact that it's the narrative of if Ari Wagner wins, she's the first female cinematographer that'll actually be walking home with an Oscar, which would be pretty dope if you ask me, just to be able to have that from all that year since Rachel Morrison was nominated for Mudbound back then. She's the second one, if I'm not mistaken. So that'd be awesome. But also Greg Fraser's cinematography in Dune, it could just sweep. And especially after that, you know, Villeneuve missed, there could be like a sympathy vote, like, oh, we wanted to sweep all the techs, or it could show weakness. I don't know. There could be reasons that he missed, and it could just be that they love it, but not enough. I don't know. But yeah, I think these are solid nominations overall. I'm happy Belfast didn't get in. I don't think it's the best black and white cinematography of the year. Tragedy of Macbeth is right there, guys.
Eric, what are you thinking?
Oh, I agree with Manny, because like the cinematography of The Tragedy of Macbeth is the star of that film. Like Denzel getting nominated, great performances all around, but I was just watching that film, just like, this is beautifully made. I love every shot in this film. Oh, it looks so great. But at the same time, when I was watching The Power of Dog, despite me not being a fan of that film, I was like, this is a beautifully made film. Well done. Yes. But so I think it's probably going to be Power of the Dog for this one. But I mean, good year for cinematography.
Chris, what are you thinking?
I go with them. I do think Dune is going to crush it. I think part of what Power of the Dog works for them is just the setting that it's around, and that might be applied to production. And where Dune is, there's just so many creative outlets and the way they shot it. That said, this I've said it 8 times, but this is one of those categories where it was like, we thought about films we liked and then submitted off of that. Look at films like The Green Knight, which probably should have been nominated. I did not like the film really that much, but you cannot argue that cinematography wasn't one of the top 5.
I saw that one. 100%. I saw that one.
And even like...
missed my top 10. I love that movie.
And then this other film, you know, we've seen it a couple times, but it's still impressive every time Wes Anderson puts together a film. French Dispatch... not his best work, but maybe top 5 cinematography or production design. I feel like those at least could have been nominated, but I think it goes back to these are the films we like. This is what gets nominated.
Nate, anything to add?
I'm happy that West Side Story got nominated, just because I thought like the camera work and the way it opened up that world was just so good and so easy to get forgotten. I do think it's going to be a toss up between Dune and Power of the Dog. I do think something like The Green Knight should have been nominated. And I'm shocked, I say, that Zack Snyder's Justice League was not on here.
No!
The creative decision of taking something that was filmed in widescreen and then just eliminating 60% of the visual image and then giving it a color correction that made it practically black and white.
Stop it. I'm so tired of talking about that. Hey, we haven't even had an episode in.
Who the hell is Zack Snyder?
There it is.
Hey, the hot dog scene. The hot dog scene.
Hot dog.
The hot dog scene for Role Models?
No.
That hot dog scene's the wheel wiener. I'm going to relish it.
All right. So that was nothing else to add, Nate. While we're here, and only because I want to bring it up because Chris touched on it, literally in the same order, the same nominations for production design. Now, is this different? Is this one of those ones Dune already has in the bag? Or I'll go up Dune, Nightmare Alley, Dune, Nightmare Alley, Power of the Dog, Tragedy of Macbeth, West Side Story. So,
Nightmare Alley, that could be one that they get to because of all the circus activations that are pretty interesting that they do with that film. But again, I think in a normal year, yes, but Dune came out and just destroyed it. We do at some point probably should throw out the fact that like another film that didn't get any love that was pretty incredible and could have fit a lot of this stuff. Spider-Man, we don't see anything for that. And even Eternals, I'm not a huge fan of that film, but I do think that there was some maybe conversation for production design or any of the other stuff that they've got going on there. Personally, not a great film for me, but you know, they're still deserving parts of a film, even if you don't put it in your top 20.
We have Sean piping in with a very topical reference. That's wonderful, Dan. But who will win for best spin in a gunfight? You know, Sean, as a Star Wars aficionado, I don't know how to tell you that there is zero flourish anywhere in any Star Wars before the end of the Book of Boba Fett. That's the only time there's ever been an unnecessary twirl anywhere ever.
He took that character as a rogue. Sean's going to get this reference. That character is a rogue. He took his bonus action to use the dodge action so that way he can have better defense.
I feel like that's a category that Mark Wahlberg could stand a chance of winning.
I'm Mark Wahlberg. But
I think it was just how badly it was shot. It was just kind of like sitting there and he kind of did a spin. And I feel like moving.
That's too far off. The joke was just for Sean. I don't want to. We ramble on, but we still
have so much. Let's talk about Boba Fett for now.
Let's talk about, but no, it's not.
Oh, Lord.
So production
we
design.
We don't talk about Boba.
No. So Eric Manning, anything to add for production designers? It's still just Dune to walk with.
This is one of the ones where I feel like, you know, Dune could win this one and then Power Dog wins. Photography, or you can flip flop it.
Manning, anything to add?
Yeah, what I was going to basically add is that this is, Chris is right. This could be Nightmare Alley because I know that it's got its biggest. Most people were saying when they were praising the film, the production design, look at the production design. The carnival is very showy, but also it's Dune. So I'm not holding my breath, honestly, at this point. Also, I didn't mention cinematography for Passing. Criminally underrated, incredible use of black and white, excellent use of actually why they needed it to be black and white. Love it. That's all I'm going to say. We can move on.
A better use of the 4x3 screen than Zack Snyder's Justice League.
I don't know if I agree with that, Nate. I don't know if I agree. Also, Sean, if you're coming on the stream, you got to stay naked. Sorry, that's the rule. Everyone else can wear clothes, but you have to be naked. Because we're right here and because Chris brought it up, I think we'll talk about it a little bit later on, but best visual effects nominations are Dune, Free Guy, No Time to Die, Shang-Chi, and Spider-Man No Way Home. So this is almost like, it says best visual effects, but this is almost like it gets really close to that popular category that everyone's like, oh, maybe we should introduce this, but that's like, you're like right there. Like the only one that wasn't like a big box office hit was Dune. So, and it was even did better overseas.
What's really cool about this is no matter who wins, they'll only get 30 seconds to take their acceptance speech and then they'll get played off. So
perfect. So,
and it's going to be Dune anyway.
In a walk. They always go the best picture, like nominee of the group. Like when it was,
I love Shang-Chi. I love Spider-Man, but just come on, the image of the sandworm alone.
Yeah.
Just add that, devour the Oscar.
Dude, come on. Like, we saw that in Tremors, though. So, like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, but not like this. Not like this.
Chris knows exactly our namesake. He knows how much PJ loved Tremors, so he actually gets
Tremors
paid.
Tremors is awesome.
None of us get paid.
Practical effects.
Yeah. Chris gets paid because he mentioned Tremors. That's
there's still the time Kevin Bacon? For Kevin Bacon to be in part two.
It's true.
You're right.
Okay. We have anybody I haven't seen most of these. Are we doing shorts or documentaries? Do you guys have strong feelings?
No.
You
want me
to mention these?
Can we go to documentary feature?
Yeah. Yes.
Sure. So you have, that's interesting. So somebody nutshell flea for me because it popped up again. It is an animated documentary that's foreign?
Yes.
Cool.
I was going to say, I haven't seen it. I only know a brief summary. So if one of the gentlemen who has seen it can describe it for Dan.
I have not seen it. It is a story about a gay Afghan refugee, I think, returning home. So it has a lot of things going on for it. And it's animated, it's foreign, it's a documentary. Nomination.
Gotcha. And I believe it's a documentary for the safety of the subject that they are doing at this moment, because I believe that there is some, I see it tomorrow, so there's some like legality when it comes to that. So they literally animated it by hand to protect his identity. So there's like a reason behind it.
Got you.
I also have it right
here. Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's still redacted, Nate. Stop bragging.
It's on Hulu, bro. It's on Hulu.
I know.
Oh, it is?
That's where I'm watching it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
okay,
I plan on watching it tomorrow on
Hulu. So the other nominations for Best Documentary Feature are Ascension, Attica, Flea, Summer of Soul, and Writing with Fire.
Summer of Soul or When the Revolution Could Not Be Televised.
I'm just looking at the website where it has the nominations, so that may be.
Well, that website's wrong.
I'm gonna add.
For you, Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah, sorry. I'm going to add to my list of people that want to come over and beat me up. I didn't finish Summer of Soul.
Oh,
boy. Because
I just
don't worry. I'm going next so I can give more Manny more of a heart attack.
It felt like someone collapsed like a mini series into like one of those like CNN the 80s documentaries where it's just talking head. Now next subject. Oh, talking head. Next subject. Go, 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 go. It felt so rushed to an inch of its life that I found myself just really having a hard time to care, and I couldn't even finish it.
Manning is already clutching his pearls.
But you finished Power of the Dog?
What? I did.
Manning was clutching his pearls. Eric, do you want to pile on first before Manning?
Yes, as most of you may or may not know, I grew out right outside of Detroit. So that music is the soundtrack of my life. And let me tell you, listening to some of these performances were wonderful. Seeing David Ruffin in a fur coat in the middle of a hot summer singing My Girl, oh, beautifully. But should this have been a movie? No, it should be a miniseries because there's too much material for it just to be a documentary. That's my criticism of it. I watched the whole thing, but I was thinking to myself, this should have been a series. If it's true, they have all the footage. Put it out there somewhere, please. Because this was not one of my favorite movies of the year, shockingly, considering the subject matter. Because I should have loved this movie, but I was just sitting there going, there's not enough time for this thing. Give it the air that it needs.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Manning, you
was nominated for editing awards to me is also like,
And this is where I vehemently disagree. I think this is one of the most brilliantly edited films. Oh, may I jump in if that's now? This is one of the most brilliantly edited films of the year. No, I do see the criticism that you guys are making about this. It could totally be like a mini series, or you know, have you put it on a streaming service or what have you. I completely understand what you're saying, and that would be really interesting. But for what they had, especially with bringing the actual attendees and bringing the actual performers back so they could watch and reflect as they were viewing it, I thought it was really interesting the fact that we could watch that and feel the emotion off of what they were experiencing as they gave insight upon what they were feeling at that time. And cutting that back and forth with what was transpiring at the actual time period and putting that back into why they were singing the song and integrating that, I felt was really well. But I understand your issues with the pacing. It was very fast paced. And I think I respect the editing because they were doing basically three different things: archival footage, the actual performance itself, and then finally the talking head segments. Going that back and forth, I thought was weaved brilliantly, but I understand what you said about rushing. It was very fast, but to me, it wasn't dragging nor rushing. It was perfect tempo. It was quite my tempo.
Nice. Whiplash.
Nice.
JK, the real JK. I think the buzz for me has been around Summer all year. Every film person I've ever saw, some of them thought it was going to be up for Best Picture. So to me, the fact that it's got that much buzz, I really think ends up winning. Questlove is very well known, and a lot of people don't watch documentaries that vote on this shit. So I think it's going to be Questlove. That said, I was very Eric, I don't know if you said Edgar Wright, but it sounded like you said Edgar Wright. And I don't think it did.
I think you're talking about Detroit, though. I know the part you're referencing.
But Edgar Wright directed a documentary this year called The Sparks Brothers.
Correct.
And
that's right.
That was very well received. So I was kind of surprised not to see that, especially with his big name attached. Usually a big name attached to a documentary usually it ends up being it, but I didn't see it there. I did like The Alpinist that didn't get nominated. It was about the mountain climber who... you guys can just watch it. It's great. It's on Netflix. It's a great film.
Watch it. Just watch it.
Yeah. I don't want to give it away.
Hey, but watch movies. Ramble on endorses.
What I'll also quickly add to is that there's another great documentary that was not nominated was In the Same Breath, which is the superior film regarding COVID, especially because it is basically, I forgot her name. She was nominated for One Child Nation years ago, but she basically did an expose into the Chinese government in the early stages of the pandemic and is truly, it was on shortlist. It's a great, great film. I'd recommend you all to go see it. It's In the Same Breath. The First Wave, the other COVID documentary, is good. Not as good as In the Same Breath. So if you have time, see that one.
It is on HBO, and was it directed by Nanfu Wang?
Thank you. Yes, that is her. It's
what good pronunciation there too.
Thank you. That one was a lot easier than some of these other ones. I had her.
I wish you had like a Furbo that we could send you like treats every time you do something right.
Define right.
Good job. Hey, he's not drinking out of a ketchup bottle.
Nate, the bar is low, so it doing something right is equated to not fucking up. So that's where the line is drawn.
That's right where now. Our government is. Okay.
Yeah. So I had a request from us to do animated feature. So we have there's only like a handful more before we get to the big ones. Animated feature, the nominees are Encanto, Flea, Luca, Raya and the Last Dragon, and Mitchells versus the Machines. So what a interesting selection. So let's say, Eric, yeah, you're not in a bunch. Talk to me.
Okay, so this is the one I was glad we're talking about because this one could get a little bloody depending on how people are discussing this. Because I know for a fact, me and one other panelist, we picked the Mitchells versus the Machines as the best movie of the year. But this is a murderer's row of films right here with Encanto, Raya, Flea. They all could win. I mean, I'm hoping for the Mitchells versus the Machines, but it's one of those things like Flea's got nominated in three different categories. It's going to win one of them. Mm. Which one?
Disagree. I think.
So you're going to Mitchells in the Hats and Mitchells versus Machines?
No. No, I don't. I don't think Flea has a chance in any of the categories it's nominated in.
Oh
no! I think this is going to be a toss-up between Encanto and the Mitchells versus the Machines. No one really has strong feelings for Luca. Raya is like, congratulations. The nomination is your reward. I have my personal bias because I am that other person that said The Mitchells versus the Machine was the best film of 2021. I kept waiting for another movie to dislodge it, and it just never happened. So I would love for The Mitchells versus the Machine to win. Machines, I should say. Should be more than one. It's not singular. But I do think Encanto will probably take it. I think there's enough love for that movie and Lin-Manuel Miranda and what it does. And I did genuinely enjoy that movie. It made me cry. I loved how insular it was as far as like all of the, it was just about family conflicts and about perspective shifts and how it was just made to like resolve those conflicts. It wasn't like this grand adventure like a Raya or like any, it relatively stayed in one place and it focused on character relationships. And I thought it was lovely. So Chris, I think it'll win.
I'm actually going to jump in, Chris, because I can weigh in on this. I've seen 4 out of 5 of these movies.
But you're the moderator.
I am the moderator, but I can actually.
You can't have an opinion.
I need to. Funny enough, so I've watched Mitchells versus the Machines, but it also came out like mid-year. It was summer release, wasn't it?
End of April.
May.
Yeah, so it was like in the summer, and I need to watch it again because it's not nearly as fresh in my mind as the rest of these. I remember thinking when I was seeing it, I'm like, this feels to me almost a little bit more, it felt almost a little bit more like a 90s movie where you're getting 90 minutes, you're getting in and out, you're getting the story, you're getting the character development. There's no fat on that kind of steak at all. Like, it is all movie, it's all, and this is a Lord and Miller production. So yeah, it's one of those. So I think I agree with the Raya. It's like, this is your participation trophy. Like, we see you, we acknowledge you, you're nominated, but you probably don't have a chance. Flea, I can't weigh in on. Same kind of thing with Luca. Like, I liked Luca, but it was like, I'm surprised to see it here nominated. So I think
it's
like
Pixar film. It's going to get nominated.
What if Luca had Jared Leto from House of Gucci come in and go, Mama Mia, it's a fish monster.
Winner.
Oh, you're a little fisher boy.
I'd watch that, honestly. See?
I'd watch that.
I think what you said, I think it gets down to, like you said, it's Encanto or Mitchells versus the Machines. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes. Chris, what were you thinking about these animated features?
Mitchell is the better film. It will not win, even though it's a better film, because one, it is not part of the Disney Pixar machine. And two, it hasn't caught fire the way that Encanto did. Yeah, but that's such a big tentpole title. You know what I mean? Like, Spider-Verse is so well known. Mitchell came out on Netflix. As you guys said, it came out months ago. Right now, Encanto is the hottest thing in animated. All of those tracks are still hitting hard. Again, this doesn't always come down to what is the best in this category. It's what is the people who are voting on this have seen the most. Like, I don't know that all of them have seen Mitchell. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think they're just going to go, that's, you know, Encanto was.
And like, also, it could just be a recency bias too, because Encanto was the last one released on the subject.
Like, remember when Zodiac came out and got nominated for nothing because it came out in February? Same thing.
I also think, like Chris, I think that's a good point, but I also think the other part of that, the other, like, because all of these were more or less available for streaming. So there is a recency bias for Encanto, but also the accessibility of these films is huge outside of Flea, which Flea is on Hulu, but like, I'm not sure how long it's been there, but all the rest of these you could see on Disney Plus or Netflix. So you could say there's an argument to be made both ways.
Well, yeah, and also Mitchell Machines came out just as the vaccines were getting rolled out. So I didn't have a chance to go into the theater. So
gotcha.
And I think like voters, yeah, we'd like to believe that voters see every film, but we know that they don't. They're not going back.
No, they're,
you know, they're not going back and watching the documentary or the animated. They're just rolling with what's coming out strong. So
okay. They just go and see what's on that short list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Manning, any thoughts on best animated feature?
No, at this point, I think Encanto just has the buzz, and I would love it if it was Mitchell's version of the machines, and I pray every day that maybe one day we'll have a movie that is not Disney or Pixar win this besides Spider-Verse. One day, I hope to be the case.
Okay, so moving on.
Shrek won once.
That was the first.
It did.
Does anyone want to
by the way, I just realized Ron's Gone Wrong was actually a decent film, too, that didn't get nominated if we're talking about animated.
It was okay.
It's not bad.
Does anyone want to talk makeup or hairstyling?
No.
Gucci.
It's on there.
Gucci's one nomination.
Film editing. We did brush upon that earlier. The only interesting things about this one is you have nominations for Don't Look Up, Dune, King Richard, Power of the Dog, and Tick, Tick, Boom. So quick thoughts.
Which one was this that we're talking about? Editing?
Dune.
Film editing.
Dune.
Yeah. It's Dune.
If there was,
maybe do it like a grandfather clock.
Yeah.
Tick, tick, boom.
Sequence, but I mean that's one sequence versus an entire film. I get it. It's Dune.
I do think that we might be overlooking something in makeup and hairstyling. Right now we're all thinking Dune, but Cruella could really.
Oh yeah, no, I think Cruella's really gonna steal that one too.
That's one I think Cruella could take.
I think Eyes of Tammy Faye. When they make
for that one.
People look like other people, which I guess is makeup as a whole. But when they make people look like real people,
still makeup.
Which is still makeup.
Still makeup.
When they make people look like real people who were dead. But
that's House of Gucci too.
Like.
Yeah.
So are we gonna.
Look how good they did in Ricardo's. They took the lady from the AMC ad and made her into a movie star. Like that's fucking deserve-worthy.
Nice, Chris.
And then they de-aged her. So where's that visual effects nomination?
So two jokes. Nate, what you just described was a mortician. Chris, I like your joke as well. I forgot what I was going to say to that. Because we went back to makeup and hairstyling, the nominations were Coming to America, out of nowhere, Cruella, Dune, Eyes of Tammy Faye, and The House of Gucci. So that's where that quick discussion came from. But yeah, I saw two of those, but not.
Hey, Dan, every time you say House of Gucci, can you do In the Father, and then the Father, Gucci. Son, and the House of Gucci? That should have been best song alone.
Just that 10 seconds. The other one we didn't discuss
costume
was
design costume. So we're gonna again describe about Cruella.
Wait, before we leave editing, I just want to say how like inspired the Tick, Tick, Boom editing was, like the fact that they made it in. It's weird the fact that it made it into actor and editing, like it's random, but I appreciate the fact that they were like, hey, we respect Tick, Tick, Boom enough, we're going to put it into editing. And it's like, oh, hey, you guys made an inspired choice, and I respect that.
You know who's going to win best editing? Whoever can take this, like, two-hour ramble into, like, a palatable 45 minutes.
Not me.
So no one.
Not me at all.
Right.
So many jump cuts.
Editing.
And one take nine?
It'll be cut, just like House of Gucci.
I'm Sinatra, man. You're only paying me for one podcast. I'm not going to edit anything.
This is the Russian arc of podcasts, and that's a deep cut.
I don't even know what you're saying.
It was a movie that was filmed all in one take.
All done in one take.
Wasn't there an Olsen movie like that?
Was
it's like an Olsen horror film.
Well, it was meant to look like that, but they actually had the edits. They did it in 10-15 minute sequences.
Oh, regardless. I think I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, I think it was like Silent House.
For a second, I flashed back to Battleship Potemkin, and I had like, oh god, that's where my brain went at first.
Strollers going down those steps.
Or Naked Gun, take your pick. So, Eric, you wanted to just briefly talk about costume design. You have Cruella again, Cyrano, the only nomination for that movie, Dune, Nightmare Alley, West Side Story.
Remember when someone in this chat tweeted, sorry, sent out a message like, "What did Cruella got nominated?" I was like, "Yeah, because those costumes look dope as fuck.
Yes,
it's a movie about high fashion."
I think it's gonna win.
I think it's gonna win too.
Best costume design, very possible. Yeah,
I also want to just like spread the word of Cyrano. It's well worth seeing. It just kept getting pushed back and again, and it's a shame because I think it cost Dinklage a nomination and song and score as well.
I kind of hate that it got nominated because I had like no interest in seeing it, and now I have to. You know,
I want to see it. It just doesn't come out until like 2 weeks.
Yeah, Cyrano, it's at the end of February. Like, something like that. It's a musical by The National. It's the band The National did the songs and lyrics. If you're a fan of The National,
a little bit more.
If you're a fan of The National, go see it.
It's funny that like The National were really. I think they did a song for House. House of Dragons. What is that?
House of Gucci, right?
No,
that's what I thought you were going with.
Game of Thrones. Jesus. Yes.
Wait, you could think of the spinoff, but you couldn't think of the original series.
That shows how much that movie has left, or that show has left our entire.
Oh my god! Yeah, talk about you talk Avatar and you talk Game of Thrones, things that were everywhere, and the cultural footprint just shrunk.
You just needed a little Judi Dench to go. Don't look back. Don't look back at the other seasons.
Stop it, Nate.
If I knew this was going to be the reoccurring joke, I wouldn't have signed on to do this.
Sorry. From now on, Chris is going to put that in his writer. All runners and jokes have to be ran by him first.
Yeah.
Manning, anything to add about what the hell were we just talking about?
Costume design.
Costume design. Cruella.
Cruella's winning costumes. The rest are again happy to be there.
The only I have to mention this, Nate. You wanted me to gloss over screenplays.
As a screenwriter,
I'm kind of shocked.
That was what I thought. Like, we were just going to do like 10 categories now that we've touched on all of them.
We've done most of them. We're here.
Right, we can do the writing and then we can finish up with the bit.
And then we finish up with the big
ones and then we're out of here.
Yeah, that's what we do.
I'm just happy that being the Ricardos was not nominated.
Mm-hmm.
Would that have been adapted? So we'll start there. So
I
think because it was based on a book somewhere, if I remember the credits.
Yeah,
right.
I was gonna say that. I would be. So you think that
I think it was original.
Sorkin just sat down and he was like, "Here's a story about the Ricardos."
Now here comes a story.
Gotta give her Lucy vision.
Lucy was termed a communist. Now that's what it was like.
I'm so glad we changed the name of our network. It's so appropriate.
What is the network?
Off the rails. Okay.
Off the rails a while ago.
I'm corralling this, goddammit. Adapted.
Yeah, it's the moderator. You're not doing a good job. You don't get any more furbo treats.
Fuck. I'm so thirsty. So adapted screenplay, Coda by CN Heater. Drive My Car by Ryosuke Hamaguchi and Takamasa O. Dune by John Sifites and Denis Villeneuve and Eric Roth, The Lost Daughter by Maggie Gyllenhaal, and Power of the Dog by Jane Champion.
So it's Power of the Dog, right, guys?
Yes, it's Power of the Dog.
Coda, but it's going to be
Coda. Could be nice as well.
It's not The Lost Daughter, I can tell you that much.
I am currently reading as my bedtime because I read to my girlfriend as we go to sleep because my voice soothes her. So I'm on book number 22. Aww. I'm currently reading Dune, a book
How do
that
I sign up for that? Do you do that for me too?
Oh yeah, no. I'll
do you have an Audible?
Yeah, I'll just I'll do an ASMR sort of channel for you. But I'm currently reading Dune, which is a book I gave up on in the seventh grade and after five pages. And the more I read into that book, the more of an appreciation I have for the adaptation of it.
It's a good adaptation.
Is it like a Beetlejuice where you read it and you go, this reads like stereo instructions?
I will say it, because it came out in like 1962.
Ooh, the original
Dune. It does not feel like a dated, older. It feels very modern in its writing, but man, so far is it a slog. And there's like 500 pages to go. I might give up on this again.
Dune was originally published in 65.
I thought it was an adapted screenplay of Stargate. I had no idea that there was a book.
No, it's an adapted screenplay of the 80s screenplay of Dune.
Okay, okay.
It's an adapted screenplay of, like, they just didn't get, like, the second half of the book. Like, the book they got from the library only had the first half. And they're like, wait, there's more?
So,
more money.
Glossing. So, we more or less Power of the Dog goes to that. Best original screenplay.
I don't know. Hold on. I think so, right? But I also feel like we missed some that did not get nominated. Are we only talking about nominated ones or just some?
No, if you have a snub for adapted, what are you thinking?
You know, we talked a little bit about it, but I thought Tick, Tick, Boom was really well done as a screenplay. I was kind of surprised. Like, out of, like, I went into that film thinking, okay, this is going to be an okay film, and I was blown away at how good it actually was. So for me, I thought Tick, Tick, Boom was great for that. I was also kind of surprised Nightmare Alley didn't make it. That kind of felt like similar to Power of the Dog in a way. Maybe that was part of it, but...
Would that have been adapted or original?
That would have been adapted because it's based on a book.
It's based on a book, yeah. I thought both Nightmare Alley and Tick, Tick, Boom were fine.
Could have been deserving.
Not better than
anything nominated is what you're trying to say, Nate?
Tick, Tick, Boom is like, it's so much Andrew Garfield's performance, which is deserving of nomination, but like, I'm 30 and I'm going through a creative rut and I don't know what to do with myself and I'm living in New York and I haven't made it big. It's like,
the story of our lives here, man. We're talking about.
But like,
I was waiting for somebody to say it.
Some of us are close to their 40s, buddy.
That's true. If you did not have like knowledge that like what Jonathan Larson would do later in his life and create Rent, it's almost like one of those Oscar movies where it's like, this is the young artist and while they were being inspired and look at all these things and how they add up to what you know is going to happen in the future. Like, if you didn't have any of that foreknowledge, I don't think there's really that much emotional investment or depth in the movie. So
I didn't. Yeah, I about to say, I agree with Chris. I didn't have that. I knew who Jonathan Larson was. I didn't know.
Yeah, I know. I've never watched Rent.
So basically four out of five of us are exactly what you just described, Nate.
I will say, though, I think as an adaptation, correct me if I'm wrong, but Tick, Tick, Boom is just a one. Isn't it like just like a, it's not a full on production of all this. It's literally just like a series of like a him narrating.
From what I've gathered, it's his one man show. So like all the songs are from the one man show. Everything else was adapted.
It was a one-man show, and then after he died, it turned into three people adapting it into more of an ensemble, and then from that, Lin-Manuel Miranda and his team further adapted it.
According to Wikipedia, it says it is written by Stephen Levinson and is based on the stage musical of the same name by Jonathan Larson, and it is a semi-autobiographical story about Larson's writing a musical to enter the industry.
It's like an Inception. It's great.
The problem was it made me want to watch his sci-fi musical and not Rent.
Yes.
I agree.
It also says there was only one writer, Nate. It doesn't say it was just three. It says it was only Stephen Levinson. All right.
I was going to say, really quickly, if we're going to do snubs, I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out. Spider-Man No Way Home, because that thing could have easily been a train wreck.
Sure. And we'll table it a little bit, because it's definitely going to come up in Best Picture. So let's do original.
One thing I'll say, too, before we go to that one, adapted screenplay, passing. I've said it ad nauseum, but passing screenplay. It's a really tight adaptation, and I really appreciate what Rebecca Hall, too. We've talked about Maggie Gyllenhaal for The Lost Daughter far too much, I think, honestly, in this award season, with not enough Rebecca Hall getting some love. And it's kind of sad. Not saying Lost Daughter's bad, but just the fact that we haven't got enough loving for passing.
Was another moving. So
it was that Ruth Negga was also in. So
she was.
Well, and
that was not intentional.
How you started that sentence where you were like, "Oh, we've talked about Maggie Gyllenhaal too much," and I was like thinking, like, on this podcast,
no, we haven't.
It's like the second time it came up. Okay, so best original.
There's a reason we haven't talked about it.
Best original screenplay, and then we're going to the big four. Original screenplay was Belfast by Kenneth Branagh. Don't Look Up, which I think this is the only nomination for them. Don't Look Up by Adam McKay. Story by
Best
Adam
original
McKay,
song. David
Sirota. No, that was the snub. I was actually going to bring that up.
It was nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, well then. Yeah,
Best Picture and Best Editing. That's right.
I only read through these once before doing this.
But hey, you're doing great, Dan.
I try. King Richard, written by Zach Bailyn. Licorice Pizza by PTA. And Worst Person in the World, original screenplay, written by Eskil Voigt and Joachim Trier.
I have not seen Licorice Pizza yet. I have seen Worst Person in the World, and I like it the best of the other four. I wish Mass had been nominated.
Yes.
Yep. Write-in vote, please.
Yeah, I wish so many other movies had been. I wish Parallel Mothers had been nominated.
Come on.
By default, I'll root for the Worst Person in the World, but I think it's going to be the, all right, you're due, Paul Thomas Anderson, and this is the one thing we know we can give you.
I think Worst Person in the World might win this one, just because of like how much buzz it's getting right now. I felt like Licorice Pizza was hot for a minute, and that kind of has expired, and we've moved on to something new. I like the movie Licorice Pizza. I didn't think it was the best story in the world. There are some interesting points, but I thought The Worst Person in the World was far more of a better story and a character story than Licorice Pizza. King Richard, I thought, was a really good kind of like that kind of action or the sports type of film. I thought it was fine. It was better than Blindside for sure. I thought Don't Look Up was pretty good. I know that's going to be really divisive, but again, I liked it. Belfast, I don't know, for original screenplay. I personally think Worst Person in the World. I thought Come On could have been nominated here too. I thought that was a really interesting story, and for that to be totally creative, and that may have been a good spot to give it a nomination.
Yeah. I'll shoot one more possibility, and Mr. Eric will back me up on this. 9 Days.
I was going to mention it.
Oh.
So, Manning, what are your thoughts?
I feel like me and Nate are like the only two people who've watched that film, but it's so beautiful.
It's so tender.
You've made me want to watch it now. I have to find time to do it, but you've made me want to watch it.
It is so thoughtful and tender and just so artistically nourishing. Check it out.
Yeah, and I will just say, like, yeah, can we write it right in Mass, please, and thank you,
yes.
Because that is one of the most, I don't call it a snub because we didn't expect it to, but it's just kind of, like, disappointing that it hasn't gotten enough traction. Bleecker Street, get your act together. I don't know if y'all are trying. You probably are. I don't know, but please do something.
They sent me a screener, so they did something right.
They did.
Everyone drink. Go. Nate talked about a screener.
Shit, dude.
I'm so hydrated.
So hydrated.
Oh, just wait.
Thanks, Nate.
I mean, again, Mass deserves to be here. But yeah, this could be PTA, I think, mainly because this is the place to reward him.
Yep.
The buzz is around, I think, The Worst Person in the World at the moment. But if it has to extend that,
sustain.
I know, for a period of time. Sustain, thank you. It has to sustain that for a period of time. I'm kind of hoping that it does. Or it could be Kenneth Branagh, since he probably is not going to be winning director, maybe. I don't know.
Well,
with how things are going.
We can segue.
I think Denise.
PTA all day.
All righty. On that note, let's go into the big four and let's talk, because it was a nice little segue. Best director, the nominees are Paul Thomas Anderson for Licorice Pizza, Kenneth Branagh for Belfast, Jane Campion for Power of the Dog, Hirosuke Hamaguchi for Drive My Car, and of course, Steven Spielberg for West Side Story.
Out of those five, I know it's probably going to go to The Power of Dog, but I'd probably give it to West Side Story.
Yeah, I was going to say, honestly, I was blown away by how good that film was. Like, I wasn't expecting it to be that good, and I think it was because of Spielberg. And he did so much that I thought was really great within the film that could have been easily corny and cheesy, and
yep.
I think he did a great job. Anderson is there. The one thing that maybe we see is Drive My Car come out of nowhere, but I don't know that enough people have seen it to make it pop the way that it will.
Not yet.
I think Power of the Dog, probably, if odds on favorite, is who I think is going to end up winning, though I disagree.
Right, but I think the fact that Spielberg was willing to take on the challenge of taking West Side Story, a beloved classic, brown face aside, and was willing to, you know, do this film, and me and Nate agree, it's if it's just as good, if some can even call it better than the original. And
I will say better.
Yeah, I will say they both could still both have value, but I mean, 1A, yeah, I prefer the new one. Yeah, but I mean, just the fact that he's able to do that, and just the way it looked, the style, and everything. The fact, because his last movie before this was Ready Player One, and then he does this. It's just like amazing.
Steven Spielberg, like, he's in his 70s now. This is his first musical. Yeah. Like, all the other, like, Scorsese beat him to a musical. Coppola beat him to a musical. All of his peers in the 70s. And he is such a natural as far as just a feel for how to stage and present a big screen musical with such vitality and life to it. He is a very deserving nominee. Although I do think Jane Campion is going to win, and I think she's a deserving winner as well. As well as the first woman to be nominated twice for Best Director.
I will add to the fact of, while I didn't enjoy West Side Story, and that's mainly because I just don't like the story of West Side Story.
Oh, I hate the story too.
The leads are the worst part.
I can't get past it.
Yeah.
But it is a technical achievement, the fact that what he did and able to surpass, in my mind, the original. So I respect that completely. I am sad that Dune missed, because to me personally, that is the technical achievement of the year. So the fact that he missed, I was utterly shocked. I was thinking, as they were reading off the names, I'm like, wait, are they going off of last name, the movie, or what are they doing? Because the fact that he missed just baffled my mind. And I think it's mainly because people either thought he was safe, or based upon the fact of they just may have liked these movies more. And while I think Dune is respected, it may not be have the same passion and love as like some other technical achievements like Avatar or Return of the King, like Mad Max Fury Road. Some of those may not have that, which is disappointing. Again, I will never know why it missed, but I would have loved Denis Villeneuve to be able to get a recognition since Arrival. But it's a Jane Campion, I think, at the end of the day.
Two things, Manning, to add to what you were saying. I think as far as the list I'm looking at, it looks like they were alphabetical order. I don't know if that's how they were announced. But yes, if you put Denis Villeneuve in here, who do you take off?
PT.
Kenneth Branagh.
Personally, PT.
I think PT and Kenneth Branagh. You can take both of those off and talk about
Del Toro. Put Denny in twice.
Put him in and put Del Toro in. I thought Del Toro did a great job with that.
It was really good directing.
I think that's a really underrated, like, it may not have been one of the top films of the year, but as a director, again, looking at the category, I thought what he did with everything was amazing. And this is probably, again, maybe I love Tick, Tick, Boom more than the next person, but I thought Lin-Manuel did a great job with that script and really first time director, right? As a film director?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Amazing work. If that's his first, like, he's going to have another great career in literally anything that he wants.
Yes.
But I thought he could have also slid in, but I know that wasn't going to happen.
He could win first time DGA. That would be really cool because they have those. That would be awesome.
All right, Eric, thoughts?
I have ours, Adam, so we're good.
Okay. Nate, any more on directors?
I have enjoyed Paul Thomas Anderson for the longest time, although I will say his later films have not rung as strong for me as his early films, but I did quite enjoy Phantom Thread, so it felt like I was back on the PTA bandwagon, so yeah. I don't know. I still haven't seen Licorice Pizza, so I don't know, but...
But you've seen the other
four. I love that it was like all building up. Like, this is my story about PTA. I haven't seen the film, but like, this is what I feel about.
I will say this is like the fourth year in a row that one of the best director slots has been from an international film. Nice. I think that's probably just going to become like the norm now. There's
yep.
I remember. Yeah, I think it shows shows the diversification of the Academy is working. It took some time, but we're slowly getting there. The fact that we're bringing in international voices. Mm-hmm. At this point, if whatever the front runner is for international, put that in your best picture, best director predictions going forward for that director. It hasn't stirred me wrong yet.
I want to say one thing on this, because there's been a lot of buzz on this that's kind of interesting to me, is that I love that we're adding international films, but they are harder to come by. They are less sexy when we're talking about the awards in general. I think it's harder to get the American public to watch a foreign film in general. We know this.
Yeah.
And I think to balance some of that stuff out, there needs to be more Spider-Mans into this thing, not just nominated just to be nominated, but they need to start taking some of these films a little bit more seriously. And I thought that was the whole point of extending it to 10, was The Dark Knight got shut out. We were going to add more of these films, and instead we don't see that. And I thought that
more.
Was interesting.
We got two more, Chris, and we'll get the best picture, but we're going to do the actress and the actors. Let's do actor and we'll save actress for one more. So best actor nominations are Javier Bardem for Being the Ricardos, Benedict Rimplesnatch for Power of the Dog, Andrew Garfield for Tick, Tick, Boom, Will Smith for King Richard, and Denzel Washington for The Tragedy of Macbeth. Now, what a fucking murderer's row of a nomination for these five right here.
All previous nominees.
Mm-hmm. Five? Don't you mean four? Who is the fifth one? I don't understand. Is it start with a I think you said Javier. I don't know who that guy is. No idea. No idea. I've never heard that performance or actor before.
I would have loved that movie had he still been his character from No Country for Old Men.
Yeah. Oh.
Desi really changed.
Whoa.
You got a weird haircut. Desi ain't Jake Lucy shit no more.
It's like that. The network is gonna ascend to Lucy being pregnant.
So I think we can figure out who we're discounting. Chris, who's your favorite for this?
You know, it sounds like Benedict, but Will Smith kind of really drove that film. So to me, I think that could potentially be the one where you see him take that over. Benedict was great, but I loved Garfield's performance. Again, I loved probably Tick, Tick, Boom more than the next person did. So that's where I'm at. I was kind of surprised, or not surprised, but it would have been interesting to see
what
Nick.
Are we doing?
Sorry. I was trying to show off my cat, and then she ran away.
We saw her briefly.
Yeah.
I thought maybe we might see Nick Cage for Pig, which would have been interesting. And then Joaquin Phoenix for Come On, Come On was another interesting one that I thought could potentially slide in there. But
all right, Manning, what are your thoughts on those five nominees?
Know my thoughts on Javier Bardem. The man has not, and also the man recently has not done himself any favors with his comments, if you've seen that.
I have not, so
I will Google let you things. Look it up.
Okay.
Which is immediately after his nomination, which I was like very tone deaf. Anyway, regardless, that's not the point. I think that this is, again, I've not seen Cyrano because it doesn't exist at this point in my mind until it releases. But I think, Nicolas Cage should have been here in my opinion, because that is an excellent performance from Pig. I think this is Will Smith's year. I think this is the year that Will Smith is finally going to get his Oscar, and I think we're building that momentum. King Richard overperformed, meaning it got all that it needed to do and then some, especially with like editing, which I didn't expect to be the case. I thought you'd have something else like a Belfast make it in, but King Richard made it in over it. So I think this is Will Smith's year. Honestly, there's a lot of love and support for him. I could be wrong. It could be Cumberbatch or whatever, Dan, you called his name. That was hilarious. And I
think
can't
it
remember
was Rimplesnatch, something like that.
Rimplesnatch. I love it. It's like a Lord of the Rings character mixed with like a weird Rimple, like fairy tale, Grimm's fairy tale. I think this is Will Smith's year, and the rest are also. It could be again. It could be Cumberbatch. It could be Rimplesnatch. Whatever. It could be him as well. But I think it's Will Smith.
Eric.
I just now read Javier Bardem's comments, so you're right. I would also, if it was me, I would move Javier Bardem and either put in Jason Isaac for Mass or Winston Duke for 9 Days. But I mean. Like you said, this is Murderer's Row, except for Javier Bardem. So out of those four, any one of them could win it because you have the story. Will Smith, he's finally due. Andrew Garfield, it's like even though he's always been talented and well-respected, but like this year, like it's like the redemption of Andrew Garfield, even though he doesn't need it. Benedict Cumberbatch, I mean, he's the front runner. And then Denzel can sneak in and take it just like, you know, because it's Denzel. Kind of like, you know, Anthony Hopkins won last year because everyone thought it was going to go to Chadwick Boseman, the late great. But, you know, Denzel could come in and steal this one. So it's an open race for those four. So we'll have to wait to see what SAG says because that's usually the forebearer for who's going to win the best actor.
And Nate, anything to
add? I think this is just a race between two people. I think it's just between Will Smith and Benedict Cumberbatch. I think everyone else is like, hey, thanks for being here. I think Denzel got the autopilot award because I would not have nominated him
It's one of those, hey, it's Denzel doing Shakespeare with a Coen brother. That's got to be award-worthy, right? And you'd think it would be, but it was just okay.
I mean, if it was something like that, Frances would have been nominated also for her Lady Macbeth.
It's well, I think actress was more stacked, judging by who was left out.
Which we're probably going to next.
Yes. I'm going to say it's Will Smith will take it because I can already see the writing on the wall and the narrative forming. Like, he's a beloved icon of Hollywood, and isn't he due? And here's my hot take. I thought King Richard was actually kind of bad. It was, as far as like manipulative formulaic sports movies go, it was fine. But the more you look into Serena and Venus's father, the more you realize that he's kind of not a person deserving of a glowing and unquestioning spotlight.
And, well, I mean, they did produce the movie about their dad.
Yeah, so. You know, just get your dad a tie next time. You don't have to make a movie for him to, like, show him that you love him.
Yeah, but then they got nominated, so it looks like they did a good job.
But this is the – Chris brought the Blind Side up earlier. This is, like, the Blind Side performance of this category where it's like, okay, I guess this is what you're winning your Oscar for.
Nate's got some weird
sin of a woman.
He does.
He seems like a gremlin. Like he has a different take after midnight. Like
I just want to go back to this. Just want to go back to the moment where Will Smith's character responds to an agent offer with fart and just be like, "Here's your Oscar clip."
That would be great.
I'd take it. I mean, farts should be nominated.
Farts are fun.
We should have a best fart category.
One of my favorite movies ever category. Centered around farts. All right, let's move on because I don't know how else to segue.
Best
I read those comments as well, and they are interesting about Javier Bardem. You can Google it yourself and figure out what he said and realize it's kind of strange. Okay. So, best actress nominees are Jessica Chastain for Eyes.
I know you're tight. You can call her Jessie. We get it.
Jessie, yeah, right. Olivia Colman for The Lost Daughter. Penelope Cruz for Parallel Mothers. Nicole Kidman for the AMC ad. I'm sorry, Being the Ricardos. And Kristen Stewart from Spencer. We got to go ahead, Manning. Start it off. I see some cheering.
Listen, I don't like Spencer. I'm going to put that out there.
Oh, yeah.
However...
It was boring as all hell.
Wait, what were we talking about?
Spencer. I was really going to say, I do not like Spencer, the movie. I love the fact that Kristen Stewart is now an Oscar nominee, and her performance, I think, was the best part of that film.
Oh, bar absolutely. None.
I was transfixed by her completely, and I'm glad that she is now an Oscar nominee. However, best actress is like...
Right.
I don't understand what is going on with Best Actress, and I love the chaos. I live for the chaos.
Because I was at working when they started announcing this, and like all of a sudden, I like remember like I'm looking on Twitter in between calls. All of a sudden, I was just like, they chose chaos, and I was just like, oh, it's Best Actress.
Yes, it is Best Actress because the fact of like Lady Gaga, after she got everything. She still missed the Oscar, which I find to be fascinating because BAFTA, and last time I'll mention BAFTA, zero.
Drink.
For five. Yeah, that'll be my thing. But no, it's zero for five. Zero for five, which has never happened in the history of the Oscars. So that is in itself shows how crazy that Best Actress is at the moment. And I'm living for it. I don't think that – I've not seen Parallel Mothers yet. I'm going to try to see it next week. But everything else that I've seen, I'm happy with everyone. I think Jessica Chastain is really good. I don't think she's going to win, but I think she just has I hope she gets an Oscar in her future. She's really genuinely think she is one of the best actors working today. And I'm happy that she is currently here with a third Oscar, even though I don't think she's going to win. Nicole Kidman, I don't like Being the Ricardos, as we have probably deduced. So I am not thrilled that she is here for this and not the AMC ad, as we have mentioned prior. I think she is excellent in that. And the amount of emotion she presents to the camera when she is staring into that screen is probably the best acting that I have seen since Marlon Brando in The Godfather. Ooh. I'm kidding. No, it's horrible. I don't think she should. Yes. No, I do not. I don't think she should be here. But I'm happy that Kristen Stewart is currently here. And, you know, I'm sad also that Tessa Thompson in passing, my last mention of passing, it did not give them the recognition it deserved. And I would love it if she made it in. Renette, I believe you pronounced her name, Renette Rinsby.
Yeah.
Renette Rinsby.
Getting to that.
The fact she is not here.
Go ahead.
The hell?
It hurts.
Before we get too far away, real quick, to bounce off of what Manning said, because I you know, you said BAFTA so many times, I felt the need to pull it up because, you know, you say it so many times, I should probably look into it.
Yes.
But he was right. There's no overlap. Oscar noms to BAFTA. BAFTA nominated Lady Gaga for House of Gucci, mm-hmm. Alana Haim for Licorice Pizza. I can't talk anymore. I'm losing pizza. Sure. It's like pizza, but peaches on it. Whatever. So Emily Jones for Coda. And then you just Renee Rensby for Worst Person in the World. Joanna Scanlan for After Love, which I haven't heard of. And then Tessa Thompson for Passing. So, yeah, you were. And it's interesting that they nominate more people than Oscars, too.
I want to jump onto that point because there was a lot of good performances that I thought were kind of not there. Like, we haven't once talked about Joni Comer in The Last Duel. Like, she was phenomenal in that film. And I think that's, again, goes back to, I didn't like that film, back of mind. It's a, you know, we kind of forgot about that one. Worst Person in the World, she was amazing. She carried it. For me, that's Best Actress of the Year. I'm surprised. I will say, though, with all my shit talking, this is the category I've seen the least. Four of the five films I have not seen. And it's weird. I think most of them are, like, they mainly got this category for them. Like, Lost Daughter, Eyes of Tammy Faye, Parallel Mothers, and Spencer. They didn't really receive that many others. So, that I agree with you on Tessa, and I'm kind of surprised. And I think this is a forewarning that Coda isn't going to get as well received as we all will probably hope. But I can't believe Jones wasn't nominated for that performance, too. I thought that was really touching. And, again, character-driven. I thought that had a shot. I was really surprised that Gaga didn't get in there.
Yeah.
That was an incredible performance, and we're just going to skip over it. But yeah, I thought there was a lot of stuff. I'm interested to watch these other four, but the one that I had seen, I don't believe should have been in over these other 6 other for people I thought could have done better.
Was it being the Ricardos? Was that the one you saw?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's correct. All right, Nate, give us those hot takes.
I know you've been waiting. This is actually my favorite category because I was pulling for Kristen Stewart and Penelope Cruz, and they both got in.
I thought you were going to say you were pulling for chaos.
Well, I think in general that was chaos.
No, that too. I
have seen all of these movies, so I'm better than Chris.
wait, hold on. Do you have screeners, though?
I have a screener for 4.
Cheater.
well, I got a screener link for Parallel Mothers, so that's 5. 5 out of 5. Anyway, Penelope Cruz is so good in Parallel Mothers, and it's an underrated movie. It is excellent. Again, how Pedro Almodovar can take all these disparate, almost soap opera-ish elements, but like make them work in a way that no one else can. It is a phenomenal performance. The where she goes with it, the twists and turns, I'm so happy she's nominated. I thought Kristen Stewart was deserving of a nomination. I wasn't as big a fan of the movie as I was her performance. I think she did a great job inhabiting her. But man, I just want anyone in this category other than Nicole Kidman. And the fact that like she's seems like the front runner right now just makes me sad. It just makes me sad. I think even Olivia Colman.
Sad or gag?
I wasn't like super into The Lost Daughter, but you know what? That's a better performance than Nicole Kidman imitating Lucille Ball in a way that just makes me uncomfortable.
All right, Eric, do you have any other thoughts about the actresses that we haven't talked about?
I'm shocked as everyone else, but I mean, Nate, again, bringing up the Nicole Kidman's performance is bringing up like acid in my stomach, heartburn. Just, I did not care for being the Ricardos. I mean, out of the five, much like everyone else in this panel, wasn't a fan of Spencer. Huge fan of Kristen Stewart in that role. She was amazing. But I mean, my personal favorite out of these is Jessica Chastain for The Eyes of Tammy Faye. I adored her in this role, and she knocked it out of the park. I'm shocked that we didn't get the lead from West Side Story, Rachel, because I mean, that would have been cool. First movie ever gets nominated, but they won't. They decided chaos, and that's cool. I mean, like Olivia Colman for The Lost Daughter. Not a fan of that film. She's good in it because it's Olivia Colman.
Yeah. Right.
But I don't know. Based on what Nate's telling me about this, maybe Penelope Cruz steals this one.
It's possible. Lady Gaga gave my favorite female performance of the year, too.
Same here.
I'm sad that wasn't nominated. But yeah, I'm just the anyone but Nicole Kidman vote.
There's a train to hop on and return to.
Choo-choo.
Choo-choo.
Hashtag.
All right.
All right, so now we're getting to the last.
This is the big one. This is the best picture. And this is the first year where they were like, hey, we have these 10 slots, but we keep only nominating 7 or 8 pictures because we do what we want. We're the Academy. And they're like, nope, we're going to fill it out to 10.
I think they had 10, to this year, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, they changed the rules where 10 was required.
Full
so the
10 on
that they nominated were Belfast, Coda, Don't Look Up, Drive My Car, Dune, King Richard, Licorice Pizza, Nightmare Alley, The Power of the Dog, and West Side Story. And now I'll start with this because I, you know, haven't had a lot. And the elephant in the room that we've brought up a bunch is Spider-Man No Way Home, nowhere to be found on this list. So you're also pushing where, you know, Avatar was nominated and it also was the highest grossing movie like ever for a little while. However, Spider-Man No Way Home could even pass Avatar in the coming weeks. It is, I don't know if they're getting close. So I know Avatar it was a slower curve where Spider-Man definitely ramped up faster, but it's still bringing in money. So it's one of those things where we could have a whole other conversation. And I know it's been brought up on our podcast before where you're talking about rules and things that should be changed for the Oscars. I think we're missing a best ensemble for acting. I think we're missing best stunts here. There are things they could change. However, when you talk about that, you had a Black Panther nomination. However, I feel like the nail in the coffin for Spider-Man No Way Home was it was never going to get nominated if you didn't get a nomination for Endgame. Because you have similar stories, you have a similar studio putting out the same type of thing, and Endgame was literally, that was the exclamation mark in the MCU. Like, obviously the MCU is still going on. And No Way Home, like Chris said earlier, threaded a needle that you didn't think could do it. Like, you had a lot of balls juggling in the air to successfully land this plane, and I'm putting in all the metaphors and all my eggs into one basket. I'm realizing this as I'm saying.
More metaphors!
More metaphors! Throw them all in! So I think if you don't get Endgame, there's not a chance for No Way Home. I think No Way Home was, it's an interesting conversation piece to see where we're going with box office and how movies are really going to perform post-pandemic, because like, you didn't get the hybrid HBO model. Like, there's no way in hell they were going to do No Way Home, especially with both Sony and Disney being there. But all of that being said, I do think you could pull one of these off for No Way Home, but I think it was never going to happen.
I think the difference between No Way Home and Endgame was, I think Willem Dafoe's performance was far better than anything we saw in Endgame as far as that. Like, I thought his move as both was incredible. I think the performances maybe in Spider-Man and the emotional pulls could have been a little bit stronger that weren't action-centric. There was a lot of interpersonal things that I thought worked better.
Honestly, I would put that up against Nebula. I would say those would be your two emotional core performances where you're seeing a comic book character trying to elicit real emotions. Granted, you have a little bit, like, I understand what you're saying. You have a little bit more weight with Willem Dafoe coming back and the other Spider-Man coming back. But I do think Karen Gillan should be at least talked about in that conversation.
But I think it was hard, too, because she was covered in so much makeup as opposed to Willem. You see him, you know him, he's a well... No, I'm not saying you're right or wrong, but I'm saying as far as an Oscar eyes, Willem is a respected actor that people already know as a, you know, not a movie or a superhero, but as a legit actor.
Yeah.
To me, I just, and the scenes with Aunt May, I'd assume everyone has seen the film at this point. Spoilers are fine.
Yeah.
But like that scene with Aunt May was really
so
crushing. And so like, so to me,
good.
That was one of the moments where I was like, holy shit. And then watching
they're
Tom Holland's response afterwards was another one. And the way that they both kind of came in.
Oh, I agree.
To me, that was such an emotional film.
Barely
that if
goosebumps.
It wasn't in a superhero film, you'd be talking about that as one of the better scenes in this year in film. And the fact that it was, oh, well, it's a superhero film, we can't put it up there next to Coda, next to West Side Story. I almost thought that that was more emotional provoking than maybe anything else that we've really seen this year. And again, there's others that are up there, but to say it's not one of the top 10, I don't know. It's hard for me to say that that's true.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying, man. What are you thinking?
Oh, no, Nate, go ahead, please.
I would rather Spider-Man be nominated than King Richard or Nightmare Alley or Don't Look Up, so that's fine with me. But I also am fine with it not being nominated.
What I will add upon that line is that I don't think there is a superhero bias. I think there is an MCU bias. You look back at that fact that Joker, while not a traditional superhero film, had elements of comic books that was implanted into that. And with that, I think that there is a smart way to be able to have something that's not like traditional superhero, because I think there's some stigma. I forgot. I think it was the IndieWire podcast with Ann Thompson and Eric Davis, but they were mentioning on an episode a while back there was an inherent bias that some of the members of the Academy had towards superhero films, specifically MCU, excuse me. And I'm not shocked, but then again, Black Panther was a cultural phenomenon when it made it in. It was a cultural movement. Spider-Man No Way Home, while is great quality, you're right, Dan. If Endgame could not make it in there, it couldn't even crack the PGA, which like the PGA is like, oh, Producers Guild of America. We give a nomination to the biggest films of the year. And if it could even make something like that, it was going to have a hard time getting into the first place. And I think we're going to be looking back years later, trying to realize like, okay, why didn't this make it in? Because like if Avatar can make it in, which again, I guess it was a cultural phenomenon or something, because I don't think Avatar is that great of a film. It's a technical achievement to be sure, but it's not that great of a movie. So it to me, it's like, oh, why is that making it in? But this one, it's like not an even playing field, if you know what I mean. If they didn't nominate like Avatar, I could kind of see what they were going for. Maybe more art house, technically good films. But if we are going to 10, the conversation should be had, and there was enough love for No Way Home that I think it should be in the conversation. I'm not mad at any of the thing that made it up, but Don't Look Up. I don't like Don't Look Up, but everything else I really like. So it's like I can see why it all made it on here, and I'm not complaining. But I would have liked it if it made it to the conversation, at least like in PGA, where they actually honor those films that are box office successes. But that's just my thoughts on No Way Home. I don't know if we're talking about picture yet.
Okay,
I didn't know if we were specifically commenting upon that.
Anything about the best picture?
I still think this is a really great lineup because overall, this is a very diverse lineup when it comes to what we have. We got a musical, we got a kind of a noir film in here, we got a foreign language film, we got kind of traditional feel good film with the Belfast or King Richard. Sci-fi, and you have a comedy in a way, kind of a dramatic comedy with Don't Look Up. Even though I don't like it, I see the merit upon that. It's an eclectic list, and I appreciate that. Is it perfect? No, there's always going to be films I feel like that could make it, that should make it above. That's always going to be the case. But I think that this is just a well-rounded list, and I'm kind of happy for it. Again, I'm sad stuff like Tick, Tick, Boom didn't make it. I'm sad because I had it in, and I'm sad. Missed. I'm sad Mask obviously didn't make it. There were just a lot of great films that should have been in the conversation, but ultimately didn't. But I think overall, this is a good representation of the year, minus maybe a blockbuster with the closest one, I guess, being Dune or something like that.
Yeah. Eric.
I mean, I think Manny probably said it best for me. I mean, yeah, this is a – I'm glad they finally said it's 10 because I was always tired of like, we're going to give you 10, but we're only going to nominate 7. Like, okay, trying to be like the smartest man in the room here. Like, I get it. But, I mean, looking through the nominations, all these make sense. I've watched a lot of these movies. A lot of them are deserving. Some of them are not. I get personal bias, but I mean, we're looking at the Academy as a whole. It's like, you know, if you ask someone your favorite restaurant, you're going to get local. But if you ask everyone their favorite restaurant, you know, you're going to see a lot of chains out there. So for this in Hollywood, you're going to see the movies that are getting nominated a lot being the ones that are the best picture. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not upset that Spider-Man No Way Home didn't make it, but I mean, I'll have it in my heart as a top 5 movie. But, you know, Mitchell's versus Machines is my number one movie. It's not going to get nominated for Best Picture, but I'm okay with that. I get that. But that being said, looking at all of this, after everything we've talked about for the past 2 hours and 4 minutes plus. This is Power of the Dog, right? It's going to be Power of the Dog. Netflix is going to take home an Oscar, which I know there's going to be a lot of producers, you know, the old time.
Didn't they already take one? They already took one for Roma, right? Or did that not win?
Well, they didn't
take it for Roma.
No, Al Cuarón won for Best Director.
Right, but he did win Best Picture.
No, did not. They haven't won for Best Picture
yet. Yes.
Gotcha.
Nate? Real quick, I'm just going to say, Manning, you did a great job of summing that up. That's pretty much on point.
That's why we invite him.
Yeah. I mean, there are definitely fringe ones, ones we could bitch, one we complain about. You know, I don't know that you could realistically, you know, say within, yeah, I 100% think this one's a million times better, or that all the top 10 have merit in all of them. Like you said, I'm really happy that it is diverse. You know, we've seen it in years where it's okay, that's the same fucking film five times. But this one is really diverse, and I like that. And I think that helps in the long term with people to get more excited about these. And I hope it's not Power of the Dog. Again, I don't know that maybe I didn't love Power of the Dog as much because I watched it at home on my couch, and it's a very slow burning movie. It's easy to get distracted. Whereas if I watched it in a theater, I might have enjoyed it more. And it's one of those films that you have to pay attention to every like painstaking moment because it all comes back in this swell at the end. I think it's really between Dune and Power of the Dog. We've talked about it a lot. I think you'll see probably Power of the Dog win and Dune 2 get it when it comes out 2023 with me, when we both get released. but you know, they're obviously, like you guys said, ones that you could pick and choose, but I think ultimately, you know, it's to steal Nate's word, it's fine, you know.
Well, and going to Nate, I want to pose the question and then I want to get your thoughts as well. So from everything we've been saying, do we think this becomes where Jane Campion gets, I mispronounced it earlier, apologies, where Jane Campion gets director and then Dune gets picture? Or where do you think that goes? And then give me the rest of your thoughts on Best Picture.
I think Dune is not getting picture, and I think maybe they'll return of the King it with the sequel, but I think the fact that it did not get director tells you that they're probably just going to view it as a technical accomplishment first and foremost, and then maybe they'll reassess once part two comes around. I think this is going to come down between Belfast and The Power of the Dog, but I can't see Belfast overtaking Power of the Dog when Jane Campion is going to win director. It's probably going to win adapted screenplay. Benedict Cumberbatch and Cody Smith McPhee have strong contender status in their categories. No one from Belfast is winning an acting Oscar. And the fact that it wasn't even nominated for editing. So the idea that Power of the Dog will take all these other awards, but then lose out to Belfast and Best Picture, just to me doesn't seem credible at this stage. So I think they're finally, you know, the old Academy members with their biases are finally going to just stamp their feet and say, all right, Netflix, here's your Oscar. Here you go.
I do think it's kind of funny, just the entire time you were talking about that, you already sounded like somewhat beaten and broken down. Like, all right, fine, we'll do it. Let's get this over with.
I don't have like a Best Picture nominee that I'm really excited about.
You're gung-ho,
really
rooting
for. Like last year it was Promising Young Woman. The year before it was all about Parasite for me. So this one, it's like, you know, yeah, I had Power of the Dog in my top 10, and you know, looking at the rest of the nominees, I guess that'd be the one that I would root for. I haven't seen Licorice Pizza, Drive My Car yet, so no, actually,
oh, you didn't get a screener for it? You didn't? That's weird.
I did not yet.
So however, do I not take a drink on that one?
You, like, you have to.
It's Chris mentioning it. So
you have
go
to back, give back a drink.
Right, do I have to give it back?
Yes,
you have to give it back. I take it all back. Actually, Coda is my favorite of the lot, so I root for Coda.
I hope Coda wins, and I think
it won't. I'd love it.
It won't, and I think Dune, and I think you're right, Dune and Belfast. But I do think they're going to incomplete Dune and say, "Look, it's part one. You didn't tell a complete story to us, and we're going to wait for part two, and then we'll probably overload you with awards and combine both of those, which is fine, I guess." But yeah, I think it's Power of the Dog, and you're right. I think maybe it does come down to Belfast, but you're right. I think Power of the Dog is going to sweep it. And to your point about Netflix, I think the pandemic is the reason that a lot of people are fine to overlook it. They're going to say, look, it was hard to get shit in theaters. We can't really blame you for this. And that's what it is. And I think maybe in the years past, there may have been some bias that may have kept it because of the votes. This year, I don't think you're going to see any of that because, again, pandemic, you had no choice. So,
Hey, Brandy.
Hello. Especially with the new state of what the box office theatrical reality is, it's just, yeah, we got some hits and Spider-Man is like, you know, doing its thing. But like it is still not the same as it was pre-pandemic.
No.
Well, and that's kind of what I wanted to at least get. If we're, that seems a good spot to end for Best Picture talk. That's kind of what I wanted to think about, or just briefly as we start to wrap up here, because we got a hybrid model, like a straight up hybrid model from HBO Max in the pandemic, where they were like 2021, everything is day and date. We are giving you all that we can. But even now that like they're putting out the Batman, but they've already came out and said it is in theaters only. Like they're missing that box office, and they want to make sure, because they know they saw what Spider-Man did and they're like, hell no, we're not missing out on that. Even though I can't remember if, because we're now approaching the time where all these movies that were pushed for COVID, they're pretty much all done. Like we, outside of the Mission Impossibles and like Top Gun, like pretty much everything else that like you heard that had been pushed so long. And because Jackass just came out and that was a Paramount one as well. So we're getting to that point where I don't want to say the hybrid model will go by the wayside, because I think there's definitely a market there and we've seen that change. But how do we think that will impact, like, because the conversation we're having now about, like, Chris, what you brought up, saying things, the accessibility of a Netflix, of things that were in Hulu, of a lot of the Disney Plus, even for the animated ones, like, this could be a different conversation that we're having at this time next year, because we had this conversation last year, but it was much more like truncated because no one was seeing movies in 2020, basically. Like, it was a much stranger year, whereas this was somewhat back to normal. So where do we think the future is going to go as far as it, like, because like Chris and you brought up a few times, like saying that a lot of these movies, you know, to qualify for Oscars, you just basically had to be in theaters for 2 weeks in New York or LA. Like that's the bar is low, like
one week,
excuse me. And so what do we think it's going to continue to change? Do we think it's going to be, like, do we think there's going to be more of an emphasis on having this accessibility? Because I think that's a good point, that the more people who see these movies, the better chances they're going to have.
I'll start this off.
Go ahead.
Because you're saying what has changed? It's already changed.
Oh, yeah. The last 2 years.
We're not going back. And you can best account like Jack for Reacher. That. Exactly. Except they
never.
They did go back.
They went back.
Now it's a series.
Hold on.
And wait, now they're giving him a second season.
So I have one more joke.
It's all because of the height difference, I think.
I have one more joke to make about that. Someone described him as a handsome mountain, and I thought that was the funniest thing I've heard in a long time. Like the guy who plays that. The new
Reacher. Like to climb that
mountain. Jesus. Not bad for Raphael from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies.
Is that who that is?
Yeah.
Wow.
Really? The guy who did the motion capture? That was it. Yeah, that's Jack Reacher.
I also think he was in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He was a young Hitchcock or Scully. I can't remember which.
Yeah, young Scully, I think.
But the window of release has already dramatically changed. Do you remember at the start of the pandemic, and here comes my cat.
Oh, hello.
Made a sound right on cue. That was perfect.
Yeah, that was great. No notes.
At the start of the pandemic, Universal was releasing Trolls World Tour, and they were going to do day and date, and they were sued by theater companies. And like, no. And then they were like, all right, let's see how this plays out. And it was so successful for them that Universal was like, oh, we're gonna do more of this. So they've worked out a deal. Just all of the major studios have struck a deal with the theater chains. It's a 45-day window now.
Gotcha.
45 days of exclusive theater, and then it goes on demand or to like your HBO Maxes or Hulus or whatever. Mm-hmm. Beforehand, it used to be, you know, 90 days, 3 months, sometimes longer. I remember in the 90s where
oh my god, dude.
When before DVD, like
take a year before it come out.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You waited like maybe a year. Like they had a year long, long life in the theaters. And that was also like an era where you had like the dollar theaters that gave things a second life as well.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. I know. Let's get nostalgic, gentlemen. So what I'm saying is it's already changed. Every movie will now be available to be viewed online for a fee 45 days after release. So if there's something that you're like, you know, I would like to see that, but I can wait a month and a half, and I don't know if I want to venture out and risk COVID, then you just wait a month and a half. And that's the new reality. So it's already changed.
I also, I don't think that we're going back to that. Like your 10 pulls will probably still get long releases, like your Spider-Man's, your Batman's. Mm-hmm. But everyone else, you can either get $10 from someone, which you got to split some with the theater anyways, or you could probably hook them for multiple months. You know what I mean? So I think these streaming platforms are like, we're going to find a way to get our money. And I don't know that Nate says 45 days. They might even be shorter. I could see them shrinking it to 3 weeks eventually and getting that done really fast while the iron's still hot. Because look at the way Cyrano came out. We've talked about how no one's seen it and it's gotten like one award, even though it came into all of this stuff, thinking that it was going to. We've changed the way that award shows are going to happen now. Before, you ran in New York and LA to play it, to get some buzz, to get it going for the Oscars, and then you would release it nationwide once the Oscars came out, because then people had a reason to go see Drive My Car when they
Oscar buzz
or Belfast. Yep. Yep. That's done. You're going to see all of that shit come out in September, October, November, December. And then by the time it hits these Oscar nominations, it's going to be on those streaming platforms. And that's how you're going to watch it. And I think that's not a bad thing. Like, I get the theater run that we want to do. But for the average person, they weren't going to go spend $20 to go see a movie that just someone said was good. Now they can watch it on their house. And I think we might end up seeing more people watch higher quality films and support higher quality films in the long run. That's my, old man yelling at the sky vibe, I guess. But I miss theaters. I love seeing theaters. But I do think the opportunity, there's so fucking many movies nowadays. There's so many. It's hard to keep up.
Well, before, the world changed, the average American only went to the theater 4 times a year. Like, we are the minority when you look at that.
Not
4 times a month, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
Right, but I mean, but if you did like the basic math, so average ticket, it's $12 nationwide, is $12. So that is 48 bucks a year you are paying the movie theaters.
Yeah.
Streaming services can charge you $10 a month, and they got you for a full year.
Mm-hmm. And you're paying more than one. I don't know anybody that has one streaming service. Everyone That's has true. At least three.
Yes.
I think I have them all, more or less, but
I have almost all of them.
But yeah, I mean, that's the future. So I mean, we were talking, like, I remember even before the pandemic hit, like, me and a coworker, like, how do you think this is going to play out? He was like, do you think Marvel's ever going to release a movie on the Disney Plus? And I'm just like, yes, the math says yes.
Mm-hmm. Black Widow. Mm-hmm. And then they got sued.
Well, anything that drives up their subscription rates. That's why they keep releasing the Pixar movies strictly to Disney Plus.
As we talked about earlier about Encanto, no one was talking about it when it was released in theaters. Ciencio. But once it was put on Disney Plus, everyone talks about it. So that's why I was like, Disney is more than okay putting Pixar films on Disney Plus, because people are going to talk about it. People are going to watch it. Because, for example, my wife's probably watched Encanto 77 times since this came out.
Sounds about right.
She can watch it multiple times a day.
Manning, what are you thinking?
Oof. Oh, that's a lot. At the news station where I work, I have a review segment for movies that I do, and I try to encourage people to go watch movies in the theater if they feel comfortable. Mm. I have talked to some people there, my coworkers that I work with. They have not been back to the theater since all this transpired, and that has been over a year. It has been, it's
We're
been
coming
about
up
a year
on
and a half.
2 years of a pandemic.
2 years of a pandemic, jeez. That's crazy to think about, but it has been almost that long, and I think that is just how the average Jane and Joe and whomever is just starting to consume media now. It is all via easy accessibility with your TV, with your computer, with your, sorry, Christopher Nolan, your iPhone. You are watching it.
Just one air piece.
Watching it on a Zoom.
Just one. But no, it to me is a sad reality, but we're going to have those big tent poles, as we've mentioned before, like they're going to be there. That's not going to stop the superhero films, the big blockbusters. And you're going to have those smaller films start to appear on streaming service. And it's an interesting world where we live in, where we went from that exclusivity window of a year and sometimes even longer. I remember the VHSs just would not come out forever. And now we're at this point where people just don't want to go to the movie theaters because either they just kind of, it's just kind of not something they prioritize. They don't put it into the front of their mind, and studios have noticed that. They have noticed that, and now they are starting to back down because they know they can just kind of put it out in a streaming service and get lots of subscription numbers to go up because they have a Pixar film, because they have a Marvel film, they have a Star Wars show. They're cranking out content specifically for their streaming services because they know they can get people to actually watch these other things. And normal people, let me rephrase that, people who are not cinephiles like us who enjoy the cinema, well, yeah, we're normal people.
Above average. Says I'm cool. Above average.
You're right. Thank you, Dan. Above average people. And I just think it's a small sample size. I was having a conversation with a coworker, and he literally saw like one Marvel film in theaters, and that was it. And I've not talked to anyone else really that has ventured out to see these smaller films. When I recommend a movie to see on a streaming service, they're a lot more readily willing to do that because it's just easily accessible in comparison to going to a theater.
Also, the main thing, if you don't like it 10 minutes in, you could just hit stop.
Yep.
Right. And you're not going, well, I already spent $20. Might as well just sit through the whole damn thing and be bored.
True.
And I got to walk past this dude with his legs out. Like, what the hell?
I want to also just shout the positivity of using your own bathroom.
There you go.
On top of just, I'm becoming more and more a fan of just having subtitles on all the time.
Same, actually.
It has saved me in certain movies that have heavy accents or very, very quiet, whispery dialogue.
I've heard that is the best way to watch Tenet. And I still haven't watched Tenet to this day, and one day I will, and I'm going to watch it with subtitles.
The best way to watch Tenet is to take the disc and throw it away.
I was waiting dear. For that hot take. I that was a softball if I ever gave you one, Nate. But before we get the last thing I want to say, and then we'll wrap
Real quick, Dan, this thing in the top left corner, it says live. Oh. What the hell? Where are we? Where are we live?
YouTube.
No, really?
Yeah.
You've done this before, Chris. You've done this before.
Wait, where are we at? YouTube got what?
I'll send it to you later. It's fine.
I want to watch it right now. Where am I?
You want to hear an echo?
Right now?
But like you were saying, Manning, like a casual moviegoer, my sister, very casual moviegoer. She sends me a text and she was like, is Tobey Maguire in this new Spider-Man movie? Because that's one of the last times she cared about Spider-Man movie. Tobey Maguire was still Spider-Man. Yep. And before I saw the movie, I could have been like, you know, he's rumored, blah, blah, blah. She doesn't care about all that shit. She doesn't care about the MCU. She's just like a casual viewer. So like after I saw the movie, I'm like, I'll spoil it for you. Yes, he is. So I understand what you're saying. And this is my prediction. I'm going to break it down into three very broad categories. I agree with everything you said, Manning. I think the tent poles, those are going to stay in theaters. I think it's going to be interesting to see how chains survive. Like AMC, I think got by the skin of their teeth and by them like basically short selling it like they would in The Big Short. And I know Chris was following that for a long time. I think those are going to stay in theaters. Those are obviously going to be your big things to go. I also think very, very small indies, you're going to get more A24s. You're going to get like, I couldn't think of another prestige, like another studio like that. Those are going to go to theaters as well, like The Green Knights and stuff like that. Those are
Neon.
Neon. Thank you. Sorry.
Hose out of water, buddy.
Drink. And then the last one, this is where, but I know at least me and Eric and Nate and somewhat Chris, we've had discussions about this. The thing that I think has been missing for a very long time is that mid-budget picture. I think those have been like, that's where you're getting a lot of not previous existing IP. You're not getting MCUs, right. You're not getting DCs, you're not getting Pixars. But those mid-budget pictures, I think those are going to start. You're going to see them pop up a lot more on streaming because there's going to be a market for them. People will watch them, but they're also not going to bring like in that Notice. Box office like the other ones are. Or you
what
say
was that movie called Red Notice?
Red Notice.
Red Notice, or you call it IP's Greatest Hits?
Nothing to do with Uncharted.
Yeah, right. Well, we'll see how that does. And
as I said, it's a better Uncharted movie than the Uncharted movie.
Did you watch
Uncharted? How do you know? You haven't even seen
it. No! Oh, okay. I made that bold. That's my hot take, as they say in the sports profession. Imagine Stephen A. Smith. Right. No, I'm telling you right now! Just listen to me right now! Red Notice! Stephen it's a better Uncharted movie than the Uncharted movie.
Okay. Well, if you start getting paid $5 million a year to do this podcast, I expect at least something out of that, because that's the Stephen A.
rate. I got you. Thank you.
All right, I think that I'm calling it. We almost pushed 2.5 hours. Holy crap! Broke down all the Oscars. Rambled on all over the place. Chris, since you're already leaving, go ahead and say your goodbyes. You have anything to plug? You want anyone to follow you anywhere, or are we just gonna rope you into more podcasts?
Yeah,
when you're
follow about? Me to the bowling alley. I gotta go meet some people. So let's go.
Perfect.
It's gonna follow get bowling, alley, bowling Trump. Alley.
All right, and he's at Chris McLafferty. He already left. So bye, Chris. And of course, when he left, he put that on.
We're live on TV.
Commented on YouTube. Manning, thank you very much for joining us.
Yes,
always a pleasure
you.
To have you on.
Of course, man. Of course.
Love it.
I'm glad
anything
to be
to plug
here.
Right here.
Oh, yes. Tomorrow we are going live for Gone with the Wind at 3 p.m. Eastern time. We have a special guest in Matt Neglia from the Next Best Picture podcast.
Nice.
So he is a really great guest. We're excited to have him for that to discuss and dissect the Oscars. I'm going to see if we can go shorter than 2:30. That's what I'm going to try to do.
It's not. Are you just discussing, or is it a watch along?
It's a
discussion. No. The name of the podcast is Gone with the Wind.
The name of the Wind. No. The name of the podcast, Gone with the Wind. Gone with the Wind.
Ah, got it.
There you go.
I thought you were like watching the movie. That makes
sense. No. We are.
And I was like, that's a long movie.
It's 4 hours.
It is. We will not do. We're not going to watch that for 4 hours. No way. I don't even like that movie, so that's hilarious in and of itself.
Ah, this is why I love it.
Thank you. Love you guys too, guys. And then of course, our Gone with the Wind awards are currently transpiring right now. So if you want to vote, and if you don't like some of those things, if you want Spider-Man in Best Picture, go ahead and vote. The link is in my Twitter. Which is right, but my Twitter handle right here, Cineman. It's at @Cine_man. That's @CINE_MANN. You can find us there, as well as me hosting Gone with the Wind Saturdays or Sundays, whenever we can figure that out, which days in particular.
Gotcha.
But yeah, thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you again, Manning. Always a pleasure. Alrighty. And then writer, cuddler extraordinaire, Nathan Zobel, thank you for stopping by. Anything to plug, pal?
I've plugged things before, so I'll just plug my love for each of you gentlemen.
Aww.
Well, thank you. We are honored and flattered. And because there's already been so many hot takes before I get rid of you, have everyone go watch your Netflix movie. What's it called again?
Alien Warfare.
It's
right?
called You Should Not Watch That Movie, because it definitely doesn't resemble the script that we turned in that was so much better.
Less than 50%, right?
But your name is on it. So,
you know, had Netflix submitted that for the 2019 Oscars, maybe they would have gotten their best picture already. I'm just saying, they went with The Irishman instead. Hey, I think we know what was the better.
Original screenplay. All I'm saying, it was right there. It was right there.
It feels like an adapted screenplay, but yes.
By the time it was done, it was.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Nate. Love you, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. We did it. We came back. We came back with a...
We recorded for enough time to make up for all the time we've missed.
We'd probably do that anyway, let's be honest.
Yeah, you're right.
You got anything exciting going on? I know you're very excited for Stafford on Sunday.
You always be my boy.
The way that breathing changed, I'm like, are you gonna start crying?
Depends how the game goes.
It could be.
But
you're a little more torn than normal people, because you got Stafford in there, but then also an Ohio team. So,
hey, I don't have to go down to Cincinnati on Monday. I'm good.
That's true.
But nothing to plug. I mean, eventually I might come up with a new podcast. I haven't decided yet. I have an idea.
Who knows?
I have an idea.
We could do more stuff with this too, availability depending. I pitched something in the private chat, so we'll see if it comes back. Because there is, in what I pitched, there is a void, if you've noticed. There is definitely a void there. So I could start doing that. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see if the time permits, because, I mean, I'll go ahead and do my plugs. I am co-hosting a community podcast called Apartment 303.
I look forward to my future invite.
Yes, exactly. We're recording one. We only do one a month. So we'll be recording February soon, and it'll come out soon as well. So, but yeah, it was a lot of fun to do the first one to discuss the ranking of the finales. So check that out. Check out this. I'll put this up. For some reason, thank you to everyone who's watched and listened, because we were getting a lot of downloads for our when we were putting out. No, we were getting better numbers. Right.
We were putting out nada. Our numbers went up.
And I don't know what happened. So thank you for everyone who's new listeners and old listeners. And thank you for finding us and listening to this long ass Oscar special, because that's what we do here.
Much like the real ceremony, we just go on and on.
Yes. Follow him.
Patting ourselves on the back.
Follow him at @handsome_cheese.
Follow that at handsome man at @OhHiDanNye.
@OhHiDanNye. We do have a Twitter. It's just Ramble On Movies that we use occasionally. So we will do all the things. Thank you very much, everybody. Take care. Stay safe. We love you all. And we will see you next time.
Bye.